Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
You know, the gang's all here.
You know.
Can we just take a moment? Let me just dig some Blake. Yeah.
This doesn't suck.
What is this from?
This is Blake. We put him beatboxing to a loop. This doesn't suck as much as Linda Lovelace.
Oh, God.
Please. The boy may have ruined American Idol for me.
You're a brilliant showman. Really.
Is this from last night?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So that was last night's show.
Yes. And now let's start our show. Shall we?
Yes, let's do.
Hey, you're on the air?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Yes.
Good morning.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. The rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Yes, rock stars they are, and God bless them for that. It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll do as they wish. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, he did something wrong, you know.
All right, one more. Here we go.
Yeah.
Let's go to Bob in New York. We don't have a lot of time, but hello, Bob.
Hi, how are you? Anyway, I want to be concise. My question is, I have had cancer.
It's not communicable.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but you need to be screened. But know that even if you eat healthy, if there's family history also of colon cancer, that impacts you with potential.
Right, there hasn't been a family history of colon cancer, but do you think I have a colon problem since my farts never smell?
Well, I think that we probably don't have any other answers for you today.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Kind of a wild card there.
It's all right. It's okay. He's an idiot.
Right.
Oh, no, you're dead.
Hey, what's Regis got?
Regis sat there with wet pants through the whole night.
Is everybody happy?
Jungle!
If you got a problem,
welcome back to the show.
Yes,
actually. Big. Bang, 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 bang.
Boom!
What glorious goo.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That's right.
You have the hearing for special place.
What not? You know what that was?
You're going to hear a giant sucking sound.
That's what that was.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Don and Mike!
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome.
Hi there.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Hi there, little brain.
Welcome back to you.
Thank you. Nice to be back. We are, in fact, little brains. Kind of like you.
Yep.
It's on to my show. Smack dab in the middle of a work week.
Oh, it is indeed.
Right, and our phone number, same as it was every other day, 877-365-3636.
Wonderful.
So, you don't have to apologize.
Trouble. Trouble's home.
Well, Mike was a shock jock.
I really wasn't. In fact, it was really nothing.
Well, who would you like to say hi to at the beginning of the show?
I'll say hi to my friend Bonnie. I'll say hi to Bonnie, who's I think driving up to Pennsylvania to see family this weekend. And you know Bonnie as well, and so does Buzz. And Bonnie works in the doctor's office, and she wanted me to say hi to her specifically.
You were talking about Nurse Bonnie, Mike.
Yeah, that is Nurse Bonnie who I'm saying hi to. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I wanted to say. No, and I'll say hi to my friend.
Comcast on a Mike show.
They are, very much so. And he fixed my problem, and I'm up and running, and love them, and they're great. Thank you. That's it. I really seriously wanted to say that. Guess I was, I was a little under the weather yesterday or the day before. Yeah. I don't even remember when it happened, but I guess I was yelling a little loudly. And you know how a family member occasionally gets a little testy?
May I guess that they're a client?
I have no idea whether they're a client or not.
I bet they are. You know why? They're smart, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're smart.
Yes, they are.
And smart.
They're fantastic people.
Love them. Well, hello,
Reggie and Comcast. Thanks, Chef. Appreciate it.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Handled, John.
Well done.
Bingo. Handled and handled.
Absolutely.
That's how you do that.
Well, welcome back. Seriously, I miss you. I'm glad to have you back here. I love it when you're here. I really do. I'm glad when you're here.
I do, too.
Well, I mean, it's so much less work for me. It truly is. I mean, I can come in here, and I can eat my sandwich and put my feet up and, do what I do. And it gives me always, and I say this to you when you come back, it gives me a true appreciation for all that you do. And I say thank you for that.
That was pretty much the gist of a wonderful drunken call I got from Mike. Saturday night, I'm guessing you talked about that, about your weekend at AC?
I talked about it, but I'm going to tell you that the combination of this little chest thing I have and the drinking, when I spoke to you...
You were not ill when I spoke to you Saturday evening.
I was. I woke up ill. I didn't tell you that.
It didn't sound like it.
Ill. But the time I talked to you is pretty much the right at... I do remember calling you, but... That's right before the time where
the blackout.
I departed.
Do you remember calling back and talking to Jan?
No.
Oh,
you did.
No.
Yeah, you did.
Like right away?
Like right after the horse race. And
oh, okay. I was
on the other line with my son, and she said, "Can you hold on a second?" You're like, "No, no, no."
No.
No,
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, it was a great call Saturday, right?
I remember the call with you. I know it was kind of a happy call.
Right before the horsey race.
I was with it enough to know that you would appreciate the condition that I was in, because I know you like those calls occasionally. And I always like to call you at the primary moment of festiveness. And if I had called you any time after that, it might not have, been. I really have no memory.
That was the climax, I believe, for you.
Yeah, it was all downhill after that.
Because it was absolute happy drunk Mike. It was, "Hey, pal, I'm here. I'm at the bar by myself." I can't do the drunk voice like Mike. And it actually pulls
sounds like Barker, doesn't it, when I'm talking like that, really?
Yeah.
I mean, my drunk voice really is my Bob Barker voice, but it's not an impression.
How are you, friend?
How's it going? I'm at the martini bar, Donnie.
I'm here by myself.
Yeah.
Everybody has left for the moment. There is Carla. Are you watching the horse race? I'm thinking about watching the horse race. And then the next thing he says is, doing that job, that is hard, effing work. Because at this point, Mike knew that I wasn't going to be on Monday. He said, I got to think about Monday's show right now.
That is true.
It's true. I said, you'll do great. You'll do great. Who do you like in the race? Do you know who I bet on? I bet on the favorite. Do you know who the favorite is? And then the next thing I know, it's Don. Say hello to the bartender. His name is
Charlie!
That was the manager. That was the manager. Yeah, I was actually sitting down with the manager at that point.
So the guy gets, you know, everybody's been through this. You got a drunk friend who gives someone the phone, and I go, hello. And the guy goes, you know, very loud, hello. And I said, the man who's sitting at the bar, you see him right now? And he goes, yes. I said, he's my gay lover.
That's why he laughed.
I said, and he tells me that you have made some homophobic comments in his presence. Would you like to repeat those comments to me? And it was like a one beat, two beat, the guy laughed. And then the next thing I know, it's Mike with the phone going, hello? The guy just gave the phone.
What are you saying to him?
That's what it was. Give me.
Stop that.
I hear Mike say, give me the phone back.
That's my friend Charlie who turned on the Preakness.
Started asking me about the odds. You know, I might bet on a 2001 shot. What do you think?
I bet on the favorite.
Yeah.
I bet on the favorite and lost.
So then we had a nice chat for a couple more minutes, mm-hmm. and you were off, mm-hmm. and you said, have a great weekend. I will call you. I will see. Goodbye.
I think I called you when I was sitting there, you know, with just the manager of the place, and like all my friends had gone elsewhere and gone to gamble, and Carlin was gambling, and there I was all by my onesies. I don't remember calling back.
It was a hilarious call. I have no
memory of calling back.
It most definitely was.
Really? It was. So I spoke to Janet when I called back. Oh my God!
Never mentioned it.
The lost weekend. I didn't mention it. I did mention that I called Don.
It was only 10 minutes later.
Really?
It was called like at 6:15. I watched the horsey race.
Hello.
Hey, hi, sweetie. Hey, what's up? Turn off the whatever you got on there.
Hello.
Hi there. Hey, what are you doing?
Hi, Janet.
Hi, Jan.
Hi.
Hi there. Hi there. Mike doesn't remember calling on Saturday night when you spoke to him.
No.
Oh, I wouldn't make that up.
No, I know. God, I know. I'm not accusing you of it.
But in my day.
I'm absolutely, it's just, I wanted to know, was I charming?
You were very charming.
Oh, good.
I mean, yes, you were. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, good. That's good. Okay.
All right, sweetie.
You're very good, because it didn't sound like you were drinking.
You see, when she hung up,
Don knows.
I remember now, when she hung up, I was in the other room on the phone with Bart, and she came in, and she said, that was Mike. And I said, oh, yeah, I know. She said, are you going to call him back? And I said, no, he's fine. He's drunk. He's out of his mind drunk. And she said, no, he's not. I swear to God. Did you not, Jan?
That's exactly what I said.
Wow. Yeah. God love you, Janet. He knows me a little bit better.
You know what's great is that we know that just before the race, you were able to call and remember.
Right.
And then 10 minutes after the race, you weren't able to remember. Allows us to pinpoint
right.
the
yeah.
turn.
Yeah. And it was the moment of... it was really the point of no return, but I'm glad I was charming, and I'm glad you didn't think that I'd had too much to drink.
Oh, no.
You fooled her.
You sound like her. You did when we were together.
Oh, that's good. Oh, well,
he was drunk.
You were talking about trying to get home, and then I suggested I had a friend who drives a taxi who could come up and get... Because you were upset with the person who gave you the wrong information to bet on the wrong horse.
Oh, that's right.
You had to keep it in check because he was your transportation home.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Jan.
Now Mike is saying that's too much information.
Thanks so much. Thanks for the update.
All right, sweetie.
Okay.
All right, bye, honey.
Okay, bye. Okay.
What did you say too much?
Now I remember what the conversation was about.
Oh.
Yeah, that was fine. Everything's fine. It was wonderful, fine, good, fine.
What is
delightful.
What is this labeled rehab song?
Rob got a song for me.
I tried to make you go to rehab. I said no, no, no.
What, did ManCow make this? I'm serious. I've heard enough. I got a golden ear. I heard enough.
Amy Winehouse? No,
don't
thank you.
Right? Amy Winehouse?
Not a fan?
Oh, dear.
No, thanks.
Perhaps another time.
Perhaps. Yeah. Put that somewhere special.
I shall.
Right next to that dumb man cow thing about Anna Nicole Smith.
Ah, yes, that wonderful song. That little ditty.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. What's up?
Hey, this is Mike Sliver calling.
Hi.
Mike, regarding the weekend,
uh-huh.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Thank you.
All right, I gotta go.
I accept it from my liver sometimes. Like, hey, you know, though, it is Wednesday, and I think I'm done, you know, paying for the weekend.
Hope you are. Hope this doesn't make it to you. You didn't watch this last night?
No.
The Idol show?
I did what I said I was going to do.
I don't. What did you say? I wasn't here. I don't know. I'm sorry.
You know, well, I said, I think you were here last week when I said, I'm done. I'm going to boycott it.
Right.
What I said yesterday was that I was going to tune in, look and check on Paula's nose to see, you know, what the nose break was. Uh-huh. And then after that, I was going to tune out. And I turned it off. I saw her nose and I turned it off. I did not watch 1 minute of American Idol last night. Was it horrible? Tell me it was horrible.
I having sex with a bad hooker.
Oh, really?
You know, like,
oh, good.
Not that I would know about this, but like paying for sex, and then it's really not sex that's worth it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What's wrong?
Got it. Now you made...
What's wrong?
I'm paying for sex with a bad hooker. I like that. I enjoyed that.
Because you sit through all the goddamn ads for the products.
Right. Yeah, the product placement crap that they have all the time.
Then they come out and they sing the same songs they've already sung, and you know, the beatbox boy, it's like, please, he's a pretender, and she's going to win by default just because she's the best one left, and it's like, I was bored. Not so bored, I changed the channel.
It was a suck fest, right?
Yeah, not so bored, I'm jumping off ship and saying the show's over and it's dead to me and everything, but just like, yuck, and the quality of stars in the audience, you know, when you've got a shot of Kathy Griffin, you know, maybe the show ain't as hot as you think it is.
That's another
face made for Lowdell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kathy Griffin.
Does she not have an inside line on The View? I'm hearing that you might see her quite frequently on The View. That
wonderful.
She might be Rosie's replacement on The View.
Wonderful.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, and the other thing, besides the two songs that the jerky contestants got to sing, why is it that the American Idol song that they're going to release as a single really is as good as that Rehab song? I mean, it's a formula. It starts out as a ballad and builds into an inspirational type, almost Christian rock thing where it's always like, I was nowhere. Now I'm somewhere, bum, 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 but look at me.
It's the Up With People thing.
Yeah. No one's going to buy that piece of crap record. That's part of the problem with the show is that the song that they're going to then release and we're going to be bombarded with for the next 6 weeks or something is a piece of crap. If you want to give these kids a chance to really have a hit record, give them a hit record. I mean, don't give them the same pablum that, I mean, I'm watching it last night going, it reminded me of the awful Taylor Hicks song. And I don't know why I remember it. Are you proud of me now?
You remembered it.
Can you see me now? Because it was the same garbage. And they had the two idiots who wrote the song in the audience stand up. And I'm like, you know what'd be good? One bullet could take care of both of those guys. If Ryan Seacrest says, hey, we found the guys that wrote the song,
you know,
boom, one bullet goes through two heads.
The only good thing about American Idol, and tuning in when I did and watching the very beginning of it, is, you know, I got my 30-year reunion coming up, and I was really wondering, what do you wear to a 30th-year reunion? I have already ordered the same outfit that Randy had on last night.
All right.
And I'll be wearing that outfit to my 30th-year reunion. That wonderful suit that he had on.
Around the time you went to your 10th reunion, which would be 20 years ago, you dressed very much like Simon Cowell.
Exactly.
You enjoyed that look with the unbuttoned shirt, like eight buttons down.
Right down, almost all the way to my navel. Almost. And the medallion, of course. It went along very nicely with the mullet.
Well, you didn't miss nothing.
I didn't think I would. I thought it was going to be crap because it was just such a, you know, I mean, the talent's gone. The talent has been sucked out of that show.
I'll watch it tonight. They're going to have, you know, the 12 other rejects on and maybe Britney Spears.
Oh, really? Oh,
but they don't want to force her into it now. She's not ready to perform because they're all about the performer on Idol.
I want to see the midget Britney Spears, the little person Britney Spears that's performing in Vegas. I really want to see that Britney Spears. I don't want to see the real one.
And I'm sure tonight they'll troll out the bug boy, you know, the bug-eyed boy.
Right.
And the big, fat, retarded boy.
Right.
But beyond that,
I mean, you had so much more last season, even the Misfits last season. You had the little Chicken Little. You had that guy that
was
on
there. You know what I'm reduced to? Excuse me, Mike, but it just came to me. You know what I'm reduced to looking forward to tonight? Sangina.
Yeah.
That's what I'm reduced to.
Welcome home.
And what a faggot teenage girl I sound like. What's his hair going to be like?
He'll have the same mohawk that he had mid-season.
And, you know,
they ruined it. They screwed it up by just the overall talent level that they had this year, and then by removing who I thought was at least, you know, the redeeming factor would be that Melinda Doolittle, I thought, was the most talented person they
or
had
Lakeisha.
In the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Lakeisha, you know, in fairness to Lakeisha, you know, she kind of had some bad song choices, but she was also a raw talent.
Is she more talented, though, than the guy that goes... You give and then pretends that he's a needle going on a record. Please,
trendy and topical. That's what it is. It's trendy.
Yuck.
It's today. Everything that Simon Cowell says, and you know something, American Idol is not. And that's the biggest mistake they've made. They have gone now with the guy that they think is the trendy one, the topical one. And the fact is, American Idol is fat suburbia, all of us sitting out there, you know, and we're not trendy.
Well, it's good because
we're people that, you know, that shop at all our little department stores,
well,
like Target and Walmart. We buy, you know, stuff on sale.
But the big boned girl is going to win then.
Yeah, the big boned girl.
I mean, she is going to win.
I hope she will. I mean, she is, you know, she is the last chance.
And the way we talk about it now, myself included, what an idiot, you know, but she is going to win. Like that means something.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like that means that they're never going to take it away from her.
That's,
you know,
right.
It's like when the guy says when he wins a stupid Super Bowl.
Well, I read a really overanalyzed point of view on American Idol that the reason that show hit so big is because it was right after 9/11. And it makes a little sense to me that when right after that, we felt so out of control, and that as a nation, that show, because it let us vote and participate, it kind of made us really, because everybody voted that first couple of seasons.
Were you reading this in the Retard Times?
I'm not sure, but it was just really, they said that.
Where'd you read this, Mad Magazine?
No, it just said that because the show was a hit because it gave us something to really completely divert ourselves from all the other crap that we were going through.
It
gave us control, because more people vote for American Idol than vote in any presidential election.
But it's the success of the show. It has nothing to do with 9/11.
I don't know. I mean, it was weird because that was a show that came on. I'm not sure how soon afterward. Well, how long has American Idol been on? I'm not sure exactly.
This is the sixth season, right?
So this is the sixth season. So it came on. Yeah, it came on the summer after 9/11, right. And it was just everybody was still kind of freaked out, and I think there's some validity there. There is that we had control over it. It was something we had control over. You don't believe that, obviously.
I don't know. We're getting some CB interference.
Okay.
You know, probably you're right that Jordan Sparks will win, but the problem there is how will Dallas Lewis handle it?
Oh, Dallas Lewis, the father of
Daddy
Lewis.
Daddy, my daddy.
He looked great last night again with a shirt untucked.
Dallas Lewis.
The great Dallas Lewis.
Dallas Lewis, father of Beatbox Boy.
Yeah. Daddy.
Beatbox Blake.
Didn't they show some video of him when he was a little kid saying, I love you, Daddy?
The best thing they showed last night is how he always wanted a drum set. And the Dallas never bought him a drum set.
And so then the Denver Pyle or whatever his dad name is, when he comes in, he's being interviewed. He comes in on the interview and he says, he always wanted a drum set. And one day I come home from work and it sounds like he's playing the drums in the garage.
Isn't Denver Pyle Uncle Jesse?
Yeah.
On the original Dukes of Hazzard, and he could be Uncle Jesse.
He's doing it all with his mouth.
That's what you want to say. No drum. If I'd given that boy a drum set, he would have he wouldn't have done that with his mouth, and he wouldn't be famous like he is today, and my eyes wouldn't have puffed up right big like a gopher hole.
Thank you, Dallas.
I'm Dallas Lewis. Blake Lewis's daddy.
Papa.
And, of course, his Uncle Jerry's wishing him a lot of luck.
Jerry Lewis. And his older brother, Richard.
Conflicted. Hello there, Don and Mike show. What's up?
Don and Mike, hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, when he was Roscoe Darlin on the Andy Griffith show.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, and for the record, for those of you who know, and Rob, I know that you're jumping up with me to scream this. I hate any episode of Andy and Mayberry with the Darlins.
I know.
That is an immediate tune out, because you know half of it is going to be them having...
Were the Darlins the ones that lived up in the woods?
And yet, I love the Darlins.
And they always have a part where they have a hillbilly hoedown,
right.
where they play their git boxes, and they blow into the jug.
Wasn't Ernest T. Bass somehow related to the Darlins?
He eventually married into the Darlins. He married Charlene.
Who was?
He threw rocks through Charlene's window.
Well, since we're talking about Dallas Lewis, it's very important to mention the fact, again, that that is his biological father. It's not his biological mother. I think she is
I
passed.
Think you're right
His
there.
Biological mother was Sherry Lewis.
Hey, real quick, Don.
Point of order, sir. It was Briscoe Darlin, not Roscoe Darlin.
Ah.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Rob said that like he was on a game show. Thank you, Rob. Right. Thank you.
Okay, real quick, hey, Don.
Yeah.
You got to talk Mike into wearing that checkered cardigan vest sweater deal that he was wearing with the shirt tails hanging out last night, but not one that would fit Mike. Actually, the one that he was wearing. When Blake was wearing that cardigan...
Rob, you know what he's talking about?
Oh, you're talking about Mike should wear the sweater vest that Blake was wearing?
Yeah.
He wants you to wear a small sweater.
Why? Actually, more like Dallas Lewis.
That'd be like if you wore like a size small shirt with the letters, I beat anorexia.
All right, I'll wear panties for you, too.
Bye!
What if that caller wore a knife in his head?
It is. Howdy, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, my friends.
Hello.
How are you today?
Hello.
Good to hear you back there, Don. Listen, I wanted to volunteer my services to Mike. I know there's a lot of us out there that are very concerned about his drinking, and I'm a sober member of a 12-step program, and I'd actually like to sponsor Mike.
Quit her.
Pass cable.
That's right. Internet service.
Because Mike loves them.
I'm very happy with
that. That is a legitimate rave.
Yeah, that is because I'm happy with my
from our
Reggie.
Show.
That is absolutely 100%. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Gotcha.
That's okay. My I don't need a 12-step program.
No. Get out of here. Hello there. Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
You are Radio Yin and Yang.
Thanks,
Don, for coming back. Thank you mainly for taking the power away from Rob A. He thought he had radio gold, Jerry, with that song, that rehab song. It's the worst.
All right. See you later.
Bye-bye. There's a vote of confidence for you, Rob.
Thanks for calling now, sir.
Didn't like that song.
Thank ye.
Thank ye.
Did you play it a lot?
I played it six times.
Six times?
He played it more than that.
Really,
probably.
Six times?
I think he played it more than that. Let's say something.
6,000 times?
No, it seemed like an awful lot.
Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Trying to help. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi there. What's up?
I just want to say, I think Randy's jacket last night kind of looked like a Civil War Confederate uniform.
It was like a Sergeant Pepper thing. It had...
It was gray.
You're right. It did have a little Confederate to it. It had... It definitely had also like the British sergeant, like I said, I'm sorry, I'm repeating myself.
What do they call those epaulets?
Thank you, Mike. Epaulette. That's what I was trying to think of, those wound up swingy things that go on your shoulder, little spaghetti things.
That's all I saw was what they were wearing, and I saw Paula, I saw Simon point at Paula's nose, and then Paula pointed Simon's cleavage.
Hey, and you know, for being as effed up as she was last night, and I'm guessing that we all know that she had to be on something last night because of her busted nose.
Right.
I didn't really step on my chihuahua. She was actually pretty with it last night.
Oh, good.
You know, it says she's high function.
Like her commentary?
She was more with it last night, even though, because face it, at this point of the show, she's, even if someone got up on stage and acted like a monkey at the zoo and threw poo at her,
right.
She would still say, "You look beautiful.
Uh-huh.
This is the greatest night of your life." She, at this point,
she's doing it.
She can't say anything bad because the other two guys are criticizing.
Right, right.
These people. So, like last night, yeah, she may have been out of it, but I thought she did a good job of at least remembering her lines, which were, "You are wonderful. You are beautiful. You are so friggin' great."
And so she didn't really stumble a lot.
No, and she did the other thing that I love.
Sometimes radical plastic surgery does that for people. You know, when they have a nose job, they actually they come out and they become a new person.
Speaking of plastic surgery, she did like the Joan Rivers hand clap. I love that. The thing where you got the hands like this in front.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't watch it. I might look in on it tonight, but I will watch it next year. Of course, I'll watch it next year.
You'll be curious.
Yes, curiosity factor.
Like to watch the show.
Like the show, like Paula.
Like the pretty colors.
Mm-hmm. Like Simon's breasts.
Don't like all the ads.
No.
No, bores me the tears. Don't like the Ford commercials anymore. Getting bored with those.
Seacrest said bitch last night.
He did, right up front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like making a comment about a dog, right?
No, he said, Paula Abdul, you're a bitch.
I guess I did watch it long enough to see that part, too.
Oh.
Now, wait, now, hold on a sec. No, I'm talking...
It's like you're remembering a phone call now.
I didn't have my cough syrup with Cody. So I didn't have that
awesome
yet.
Moment.
I got some good stuff today, man. I got my Elvis cough syrup.
Did you, Jack?
Yes, sir.
How bad you want me to get, Jack? If I get any worse, the Johnson office won't pass it.
I got a whole big bottle of it, Jack.
Lots of headlines about this show, but most importantly, I want to find out what happened to Paula, because I heard late last night that you had broken your nose. Are you okay?
I'm okay.
All right. Well, I like the new nose. Did they give you that one?
Yeah. You don't need to turn her mic on.
Well, yeah, really. I'm glad you're all right. Are you bruised? Does it hurt?
I'm just bruised. I tripped over my dog, Tulip.
What's the dog in
there? She looks fine. She's snoring.
So the bitch is okay. All right, we got it.
You know, what is the deal with the audio guy? I mean, it is American Idol. They have done it for a few seasons.
Uh-huh. Don't know.
You know you're going to Paula Abdul down in the audience, and really, after the first 5 seconds, why don't you fix that? I don't understand
and
that.
For some reason, she's got to do that thing where she has to take the microphone and pull it out. Wow. Wonderful.
You know, and Simon Cowell does know the crowd, though, because he points right at her nose right. As soon as they show him. He knows what everybody's talking about.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don, Mike.
Howdy.
Mike, how many steps is it from O'Mara's front door to the bar? That's how many steps you need.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, that's a word of encouragement.
Hello there. Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, how are you, brothers?
Why are we on this talk about you in steps? You're not in recovery. You're not...
No.
No.
I'm fine.
What, were you talking about quitting drinking again?
Did I say anything like that?
Monday,
I don't...
It came up briefly Monday.
About quitting drinking?
Yeah, you...
But doesn't everybody know Mike doesn't mean that?
Of course we do.
I really never mean that.
I mean our listeners.
Much more inclined to quit smoking than I am quit drinking right now.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Well, you have a cold now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's usually when you stop for a while.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, when you get one of those little chest colds, you don't, you don't continue to smoke. Unless you're, you know, really, I've seen people that have had horrible, horrible chest colds or horrible colds that continue to smoke. Uh-huh. And, you know.
Why did you wink and point at Buzz?
Did I do that?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Michael Elston and Buzz Fairbank.
They don't provide an IV yet, so. When they do.
Hey, my son, who is at home for a couple of weeks, really enjoyed, I think I mentioned we had Buzz and Marsha over for brunch a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
And Buzz left a pack of his Now cigarettes sitting out.
Oh, no.
And you would have thought that Bart found a piece of gold, because they're sitting on my desk in my office at home, and they're just sitting there almost like a piece of art, because, you know, I don't smoke cigarettes.
Gotta be
like,
stale by
I
now.
Like cigars, and they're just Now cigarettes. That's
now.
The brand. And Bart came
now.
Out the door, and he said, Dad, what are these? I said, these are Buzzes. So later in the evening, he's an adult now. We were having an adult beverage. And,
right.
And he said, hold on a second, Dad. He went in the other room and he got one of them. It's so unusual to see him smoking anyway. And he said, so what's happening? And he took a drag on it and he said, this is like a lady cigarette.
Wow, that's very nice.
Now, Buzz, I'm not a connoisseur of cigarettes.
Here's the deal on this obscure
not
brand.
Not a connoisseur. Don't know a lot about them.
This is, you've talked about this out in the corner out there. This is a very obscure brand,
my
right?
Corner store carries these exclusively from me, and it is very, very obscure. I dare you to try to find these anywhere, but they are, and here's why I like them. They're the mentholiest.
He likes them because they're mentholy.
Who has a corner store?
It's a 7-Eleven, but I was just...
Oh, okay. It's not like, you know, the Emporium or anything.
Now, do you have a relationship with your 7-Eleven where they get them for you?
Oh, they see me coming. Yeah, they head for the back room to get them when they see me coming in the door.
Are they from out of town?
Yes, way out of town.
Okay.
But it's perfect for him because it's right now.
Uh-huh.
Now.
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 Hi there. Don and Mike show.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
How we doing?
Doing very well.
Excellent. Welcome back, Don.
Thank you. Oh, it's going to be packed at my house. Not only is my kid here for a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. on his break from college, a little bit of a summer break. Mm-hmm. But my Earth Dog brother's in town.
Yeah. Oh, good. Made it up here with his motorcycle?
Yep, he'll be stopping by the show tomorrow.
Very, very good. Looking forward to seeing him. Is he going to come over on his hog?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
I just have a quick question about the guy that called and wanted to sponsor you, Mike.
Yes.
I thought you already had a sponsor. It's Jameson Irish Whiskey, if I'm not
mistaken. All right. I think I'm getting plenty. You know, listen, this is the goddamn weekend we're talking about here. Right. I think that's quite enough. This is Wednesday. I think we should have a new rule that, any weekend activity by Wednesday, that's, you've taken care of that. It's ridiculous.
In sports, it's the 24-hour rule.
Yeah?
You think about a loss for 24 hours, then you let it go,
yes.
And you look forward to next week's opponent.
Yes, I know what I did. Mm-hmm. I know that, whatever illness I had, I know I exacerbated it. I'm aware of all this, and, c'est la vie. The next weekend's going to have 3 days in it. Let's see what happens then.
Hey, ho, ho!
Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay! Guess what? And it's a big one, too. Beginning of the summer weekend.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan, though, she's a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and her upcoming birthday party is being sponsored by Svedka Vodka. So what could possibly go
Svedka.
Wrong?
Svedka sounds like something that might be somewhere in the system of Lindsay Lohan.
Try it with now.
Well, unfortunately, she was coughing up a lot of Svedka.
My birthday was sponsored by Now Cigarettes.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to comment real quick on what Randy was wearing. If you go back and watch the movie The Lost Boys way back when, that cheesy, crappy vampire movie, the little boy, sure. His name was Laddie, he was wearing a jacket that was exactly identical. I looked them both up online. It's identical to that little goofy exactly kid's identical. Jacket.
Exactly.
Thank you, Rob. Exactly identical.
Exactly.
Very close. That's a double conundrum, double dual. Say two words in a row mean same thing.
Is it exactly E-Z-A-C-T-L-Y or is it exactly Z-A-C-T-L-Y?
Me learn at school, S-K-O-O-L. Is it what, Mike?
It's like that Southern kid. That's
exactly.
Southern kid. Exactly.
You don't have education and you can't hardly get a job.
Exactly is E-X-A-C-T-L-Y.
That's right. The proper word, yes, and I believe that that listener put a Z in it, Exactly.
And if you're going to spell I like Randy Jackson, uh-huh. It just I for me would be like A-I-I-T-E.
I think it might be A-I-G-H-T.
A apostrophe, yeah. I-G-H-T.
No, I don't think there'd be an apostrophe. That,
no?
That's like in an Irish name almost.
Hi-it. It was just height for me.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Irish Idol.
Radio God.
What's that goddamn word that starts with H? That's bad? Harp idol.
Harp idol. and the rude guy would be the only Irishman, though, the only real Irishman.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Hello.
Randy might have liked it, but I thought you were pure dung.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Speak
now. We must play fabulous commercials.
Well, I was just wondering, over the break, or while you were gone, I should say, there was a bit of a debate over the Sopranos episode. And I was wondering what you thought of it, Don. Oh.
Sucked ass. I don't need to see A.J. Soprano pretend to kill himself.
Listen, my brother.
Listen, boy.
My brother.
Boy. Here. I'm talking to you now, A.J. Soprano.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care that you're conflicted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see you inside a psychologist's office. I was glad to see you go out by the pool with that cement block.
Uh-huh.
It was the letdown of letdowns.
I know.
You pussy, you're going to do something, do it all the way.
Oh, see, this is nice.
Only two episodes to go, and that's the best crap they
see,
can
I like
out.
See, I like it when we agree 100%. We have the exact same point of view on that. We agree 100%. I mean, I believe it ought to be called the Psychiatrist.
Who decided for the last 5 episodes that we're going to change the title to the A.J. Soprano Show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And even with really, really good mafia stuff like kicking of the guy's teeth, it still didn't make up for it with all the other crap that we had. And really, you had Tony with the shrink, you had the shrink with the shrink, and you had AJ with the shrink. Way too much psychiatry.
And poetry. Yeah. Don't forget the poetry.
Yeah,
from AJ.
AJ's poetry. And I believe I might have said the same kind of thing, that it really would have, if you really wanted to make it work,
you have that cinder block rope the right length.
Tony go out there, I thought it'd be very symbolic, well, with the beginning of the show and the ducks and everything, mm-hmm. that if AJ offed himself in the pool. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. What a letdown.
Yeah.
That boy doesn't know how to do anything right.
So he can cry. So he can cry. And that sounded like something the Darlins would say. Uh-huh. That boy can't do nothing right.
And what's up with Phil? Why is Phil such a pussy, like hiding up at a window like he's in an Alfred Hitchcock movie?
Go away, Tony. You tell that New Jersey piece of ass to get away.
Please, come on, get out of here. And I don't like the bug-eyed mafia guy. The Phil's a...
That's what I want to say. All right, there you go. There's the incident analysis.
So did you catch the one point before they had the big fight when Tony said to the guy that came on to Meadow? Right before, yeah, I know his name, Rob. Don't F it up for me right here. Because right before he was going to knock his teeth off, he went up and he said, I love you, Coco. And he advanced on him. I love you, Coco. Coco.
He grabbed my balls. Or whatever. Yeah, whatever William Shatner says. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Yes, Don.
Yes.
I wanted to ask Mike that during his previous dinner episode in Atlantic City this weekend, if he had any resemblance to the David Hasselhoff tape.
It was exactly the same thing.
That'll be coming out on the internet because one of the things I had said is that I asked if I ever got like that, I'd ask Carla to videotape me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a casino hotel floor, so... You know, I'll be honest.
And you're eating a hamburger on the floor, just like Hasselhoff.
Yeah, yeah. I was, but you really wouldn't have been able to shoot me on the casino room floor. You would have actually, according to Carla, wanted to see me going down the escalator at the casino. That's apparently where it was the most interesting,
the best show.
Where there, it was a huge escalator, like one of those massive escalators that goes down six floors in a casino hotel. Yeah. And Carla said there was concern. She had concern for me, you know, for me toppling. So that was the deal. But no, I'm fine now.
Yeah, you are. Of course, you are.
Yep.
Look at you.
What do you mean, yeah?
I wanted to say it like Hasselhoff would say it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, no, you did.
Hold on, where the Hasselhoff stuff?
Yep.
Oh, here it is.
I'll be fine.
Tell me you're in the shop.
I'll be fine.
Tell me.
Did you play these tapes when Mike was talking about his weekend?
Yes, we did. Oh, good. Good boy.
I'll be fine.
Tell me you're in the shop.
I'll be fine.
How did he react?
He hit me.
Twice.
Repeated. Not very hard. Though.
Hard. I really, it's a statute of limitations. I mean, right. I paid my dues. I paid my dues for the weekend of fun.
Let it go.
And I brought some joy. Yeah. I brought some joy. I called you. I know that at one point during the conversation, you gave your real hearty laugh.
Oh,
and you think something's really funny.
The whole phone call made me laugh. I love those phone
people
calls.
The people that I was with outside of Carla, who I apologize to, indicated that I was funny and that they had a good time.
Sure you are.
So, you know, it wasn't, believe me, there have been other times when there's been a little more damage control that has had to be done.
Don't worry about it.
I'm not worried about it. It's Wednesday.
You goddamn Mickey Mantle.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Be bombed off your ass. One arm, one leg. Go out there, hit the home run for the little crippled boy.
Thank you.
Go back into the dugout and puke your guts out.
Absolutely. Or like Babe Ruth, you know, show up for the game and eat 12 hot dogs. Go out there, hit for the cycle.
Hit the ball all long day or whatever. What's the thing from the...
Babe Ruth, the live long day. Ty Cobb, what have you, or whatever it is.
That's it. We are randomly quoting the Untouchables.
Uh-huh. But I get nowhere... Unless the team wins.
Jeez. And then the great part.
Oh, my God.
And the splat, splat.
Jesus Christ.
Splat, splat. Okay, we got a break.
All right. It's okay.
Yeah.
He's an idiot.
That's right.
Yes, we are. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
This is simply labeled Gay Little Rascals.
Weezer. Weezer. What's the matter with you? Couldn't sleep? Why? Oh, Jack kept hugging me and kissing me all night, he did? Yeah, and he kept on saying, I love you, my darling, I love you, I love you.
Now hurry and eat your breakfast or you'll be late to school.
Hey, don't you kiss me!
the matter with you?
Dad's going to kiss me. Kiss you? Yeah, and all night he grabs me and kisses me. He calls me name.
Name? What kind of name?
Precious and sweetheart and tootsie tootsie.
Okay.
The Don and Mike Show.
Okay.
On their backs and covered in baby oil.
Yeah.
Here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, this is for me.
Duh.
I'm playing that without listening to it.
Duh.
I guess the problem, that may have been fine content-wise. I heard it was one of them talking about another one kissing him.
Yeah.
But they talk in that 1920s...
Rock, go on.
Turn of the century bad audio. Like a,
I don't know what you mean.
Like a bad recording on a phonograph.
You know, though, whenever it's the Little Rascals, I just get swept away by the music.
Yeah, and the music makes it impossible to hear what the hell they're saying.
It's the same music, that, you know, that same track that just plays in the whole, you know, behind the whole thing.
Rock, go on.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Gay Little Rascal.
Gay.
Hello.
Come on now. We answered the phone. You got to do the talking.
What's up?
Hey, Mike, I got a question for Mike.
What do you want?
Hey, music question here. Do you think there's a direct correlation between low IQs and people who are fans of AC/DC?
No, I don't at all. I happen to think AC/DC's just fine. What do you mean? I ought to sock you right in the eye.
In other words, they say that babies in the womb who listen to the Beethoven or Mozart tend to have higher IQs as they grow older.
Shouldn't you be calling Mike when he does his weekend rock line show, really, for a question?
Like, I'm a musicologist, too. Like, I know this. All of my children exclusively listened to AC/DC.
While they were in the womb.
Yes, while they were in the womb. It was exclusively AC/DC, and they're both doing fine. We're hoping
for honor roll again. Now go on and get out of here.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Rockline. Yeah, me on Rockline.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oh, that's way too loud. Hello. Danger Will Robinson. Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on.
Get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good afternoon.
No, good afternoon.
You're the dude.
We are sympathetic.
I was wondering how come you haven't spoken about the death of Regis Philbin.
I'll play along. When did he die?
Some cable network said, I guess over 2 hours ago or so.
Uh-huh. What cable network was it that said that?
I was watching Fox.
Oh, you know, your voice, you just gave it away with that tone right there. That's the bust balls tone right there. That's the I'm an A. I'm just a pure A.
Oh, there he goes.
He hangs up right now.
We have an alarm.
Mm-hmm.
When Regis goes, you're going to hear a very special alarm.
Hasn't rung. And we will be sad.
Regis sat there with wet pants through the whole night. What do you do with an elderly woman?
They are pushing him too much. We can all agree on that. They are pushing him in New Orleans way, way too much.
They're making him come out, do jumping jacks, sing, do calisthenics.
A lot of running around.
He looks ill.
Yeah, he doesn't look well, and it's obviously very humid down there right now.
Looks too thin. Listen, eBay got an eBay question.
Love eBay.
Robbie, I know you love eBay, and maybe you can help me with this.
Yeah.
I'm relatively new to eBay, like the last 6 months. I finally decided, okay, there's some stuff on there I like buying. I'm not a seller. I'm not a buyer. I'm a seller.
No, you're not a seller. You're a buyer.
Whatever, yeah.
You're acquiring it.
I only buy stuff. You're
a hoarder.
I don't put my crap up there for people to buy.
Your squirrel hole has a tremendous amount of nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And in your way, you feel that makes you better than me because I'm a seller and a buyer.
Aren't you primarily a seller, though?
Oh, no.
Oh,
only
no,
sell
really?
To fund buying.
You forget about his incredible microphone collection.
The microphones,
yes.
That's right. Yes.
Like those.
eBay's
You're a skilled seller, though.
Pretty good.
So I bought an item.
100% satisfaction. Bid with confidence.
Hear me out on this, Robbie. This is your your wheelhouse. I bought an item from this cat. I'm not going to say what it is. It's just a piece of memorabilia. It cost me, I think, $38.
Okay.
And it was $21 shipping because it's kind of a big thing.
Did they list that before you bid on it?
Like, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so you
had,
knew that.
It had the price of shipping in it. And I finalized the auction on April 29th when I got the thing saying, your PayPal has been verified.
Okay.
The guy got his money.
Yeah.
On April 29th. I sent him a note 2 weeks later saying, hey, where's the thing? I didn't hear from him. I sent him another note a week later. Still didn't hear anything. So what I did was I went to PayPal, and they got this thing where you can click if you've got a dispute.
Sure.
I've got a dispute with the guy. This is the first response I get from him.
Oh, finally.
So you filed, like, a grievance with PayPal, and
with
then,
PayPal.
And this is the guy's reply to you.
I didn't give him bad feedback on eBay.
Right.
Okay.
Nothing like that. I just went to PayPal and said, this guy, I want my money back.
Okay.
I didn't even write anything. It's just like you have a dispute, yes, and they see what it is.
Have you gone to the strong arm collection end of PayPal? It's called Hey Pal. I'm so sorry.
Don't be sorry.
I'm terribly sorry.
Don't be sorry.
Hey. Oh, no, you're dead.
Hey Pal. Hold it, pal.
Right. All right, so here's what he writes. You're kidding, right? Figures, you're new. 10 exclamation points. You are the exact problem with eBay.
Oh, dear.
Idiots who don't know what the hell they're doing. Oh, and before I do this, for those who don't know, just let me tell you. In his original ad on eBay for this item, there was the time to bid on it, and I won the bid, and it says, pay via PayPal, we'll ship 2 to 7 days.
Okay.
It's what it says up front.
Right.
3.5 weeks later. So, anyway, I get this thing. You're kidding, right? Figures, you're new. You're the exact problem with eBay. Idiots who don't know what the hell they're doing. eBay is a process. Not everyone sits around the computers like you apparently do. Some people have lives. Others have real jobs. Some people can't make it to the post office every week because it's not down the street, and that's when you inquire about your item. You don't file a claim to try to scare me. That's not how it works. That's all in caps. Ever heard you get more with sugar than you do with salt?
It's not even the right way to say that expression.
No.
Putting in a PayPal dispute should be the last defense, not the first strike. Feedback is there so others can differentiate the good from the bad, and you'll find that nothing happens immediately. Your item was shipped last week. Incidentally, I still haven't received it.
Wow.
You can take and I don't need you, I don't need your business or your money, period. If you want something shipped the next day, you should have bought from Target. I can't wait till the same happens to you because it will. If you have anything you'd like to say, feel free to call.
Wow.
I have plenty more to say.
Wow.
And this is where I broke the cardinal rule.
Mm-hmm.
I called the guy up.
Wow.
I'm really surprised that you did.
So
I can't imagine you'd give him a call.
I call him up, and seriously, I laughed. I had to hang up and laugh, and I'll get to my question about eBay. Because it was like listening to, and I said this, I said, I can't take this seriously. It was like a boy whose testicles haven't dropped yet, screaming at me. I pick up the phone and I said, hi, I'm the guy that you sold the thing to. And right away I was, you don't know anything about eBay. I want to tell you something. You don't do that to me. You don't do that to eBay. You don't know any bad feedback. You are awful. I'm like, hello?
Hello? So by saying this, giving him the bad feedback is like the worst thing you could have done.
And
I
did not give him bad feedback.
Oh, you didn't give him bad feedback.
Avoided that.
I did afterwards.
Right.
Well, sure.
I did afterwards. Sure. So my question, Rob, is in a dispute like this, because now it's the principle of the thing. Like I said, it's not an expensive item. But screw this, dickwad. What do I got to do to get my dough back?
I would pursue it with PayPal. They should be able to protect you because you've never gotten your item, right?
Never.
Okay. You just go to PayPal and you write. They'll probably give you an email link to click on and say, this gentleman accepted my money but said he is not going to ship my item. And you're protected by using PayPal. They should give you your money back.
Oh,
but also what that guy is saying is wrong because he promised to ship in 2 to 7 on his description. Mm. And also the problem is you probably would have been fine in any situation if he had answered any of the two emails that you sent him directly.
Right.
And that's where he's wrong.
So how many people on eBay are like this? Because this seems like almost one of those dumb internet clicks that he's writing to me like, you know, figures your new 5 exclamation points. You are the problem with eBay.
I think it is the land of the internet, and I think it is well stocked with every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there. And you got psychos, you got whack jobs, you got great people that do it. But, you know, it's the land of the unknown. As long as it's the land of the unknown, as long as it's faceless people,
Wild West.
There's anything can happen.
Hold on, here's eBay expert Joe Ardinger.
Here's Joe.
How are you doing, Joe?
Well, as you know, I run many harebrained get-rich-quick schemes. And I had a guy who bought a T-shirt from me, and I had it in stock. I put it in the mail the next day. This guy sends me an email 2 days after I received his money. Just raining down, I will report you. You don't know who you're messing with. I'll call Visa and PayPal and all this. And I just shot him an email back and said, no, you're not, because you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so really, you guys just tell the guy to chill out. Just send the stuff.
That is a great story. Thank you. I'm really glad you came into the main studio. Please go back to the third studio back. Count them as you walk back. Studio one, the important room. Studio two, the less important. Studio three, not important at all.
I think by and large.
Have you gotten any input that's going to help you in your quest right now? I mean, do you have any way?
Well, you know that PayPal will cover you.
Hold on. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, John, did you email the guy before you went to PayPal?
Do you listen? Yes, I said that. I sent him at least 2 separate emails that both were through the eBay thing.
Okay, because I thought you broke etiquette, but you didn't break etiquette.
But hold on. This is a good question. Even if I didn't send him emails, if it's been 3.5 weeks and I didn't get the item, there's nothing on eBay that says, hey, the etiquette is not to turn someone in if you don't get the item.
Yeah, there kind of is, Don.
Hold on. Show me on eBay where it says that. Where it says
it doesn't say it. That's why it's etiquette. Not everything in etiquette is written. I don't want to argue with you. I just want to tell you.
Go to hell.
Bye!
I don't want to argue with you either, sir.
Carrie has had over 600 eBay transactions, and I think in all of that she's only had 1 or 2 bad people. So by and large, it's pretty good.
Well, you ordered this thing and expected delivery in 7 to 10 days, correct?
I'm not rushing. Mike, it's part of your birthday present. It was the last little part of a present. Great.
For you.
Great. It was the last part.
It was the cake.
It was the last part.
Well, the thing is, you expected delivery in 7 to 10 days.
And the reason I brought that up is your birthday isn't for a couple of months. It was not something I bought. I said, oh, I got to have this tomorrow. Uh-huh. I waited a week. I didn't hear nothing. I sent him an email. Wait another week. Didn't hear nothing. I'm still going on eBay, and it says items you bid on, items you won. Mm-hmm. This says item I won on April 29th.
You're 100% in the right, the way you handled it. And this
So you just inquired. You didn't give anything about negative feedback the first time you talked to the guy. You said, hey, where is it?
And I sent him 2 emails, and got nothing back. And
oh, he didn't even respond.
Yeah, and beyond that, I didn't give him the bad feedback. I went to PayPal first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then when he was a dick and sent me that email, then I went on his feedback, and oh, brother.
And the way he blew up at you leads me to think he might be crooked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he takes that defensive crouch.
When I was looking at his feedback, the only other piece of negative feedback he had was an item he sold, and someone wrote back, the item wasn't real,
mm-hmm.
and he wrote underneath it, this person is a liar.
Yeah, that's how they operate. How many feedbacks did he have? Like, how many transactions?
I don't know. A lot.
Mm. So he's probably done quite a bit, but there's just crazy people out there.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey there.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
I had the same thing happen to me. I got an iPod over on eBay, and it never came. It was.
Where did you order? When you got an iPod, where did you order it from?
I ordered it from a guy.
An individual.
On eBay.
All right. Okay.
It was actually a guy, not one of the stores that were set up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I didn't go directly to PayPal. I kept sending him emails through eBay, you know, saying, you know, where's this at? I don't want to give you, you know, negative feedback. And he never replied, never replied, never got my iPod. So I filed the grievance with PayPal, and they disputed it. You know, I talked to people over there.
What is the story, Ed? I'm sorry, sir. I have a very limited attention span.
Okay. I got a wait. Hold on. I got. Wait. Hold on a second. I have an idea. Get an iPod from a store.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome to Helpline Wednesday. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don. How are you today?
Hi. We're doing great.
Now, how many eBay transactions have you? How new are you?
I've bought about 25 things.
See, that's enough. I get really ticked off about these guys that say, oh, you're new, you don't know anything, because that happened to me after I bought about...
Hey, hold on. Just a moment. Hold on, please. I promise we'll come right back to you.
Breaking news?
Yeah, my brother's on the phone.
Ah.
Hello?
Hey, man.
Hey.
Jimmy.
Hey.
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 What's happening, dude?
Hey, man, how you work that pool cover out here?
Is your pool open and ready for the season?
Yeah.
Like you just when you burp out of tension.
Ask Jan. Okay. See you later.
Well, why'd you put him on the air?
Did he want to come on the air?
He asked to be put on the air, and he said if I didn't, he'd give me bad feedback.
You're going to come down and be on the show tomorrow. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
How's that pool cover work?
How's it work?
Only found 3 bottles of vodka.
You're going to sit there with a pool skimmer and there'll be like cigarette butts in it.
I am definitely running Chateau Relaxo right now.
So you got your son and your brother are there at the same time?
And his wife.
Wow. Boy, have you brought in extra staff by any chance? You really could like use a crew.
Key Rice. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I was calling. You guys still talking about the eBay thing?
Yeah.
I called to let you know that I had a problem with someone on eBay and went through the PayPal dispute, and they said, you know, that I won the dispute, but they said the guy had no money in his account, so I got screwed anyway.
I think ultimately that's really what can happen.
Thank you very much for the call. I'm aware that that is a distinct possibility. I mean, it's not a ton of money I'm throwing out there, so I'm not really concerned. It was just the guy's kind of a prick.
Mm-hmm.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
How you doing today?
Hey, very well.
Very good. I think since you can't technically put his name on the radio and his phone number, I think you should put it up on your website, and all of us can call him and find the proper procedures of how to follow through when he screws you.
They want to help. Everybody wants to help.
That's exactly what I'll do.
This is the chairman of the Hey Pal Society.
Hey Pal. Not in my show. And they're slightly more effeminate side. Hey Pally.
Hey Pally.
Hey Pally. Hello. Don and Mike, gay pal. Now that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
It's you. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes. Welcome to Gay Pal.
Hey, I just wanted to, share with you my positive experience from PayPal, from eBay.
I was buying a case and a half of vodka.
Is it a positive story?
Yeah.
Why would I be
getting
interested?
To
ma'am,
pay
ma'am,
for my item?
Ma'am, hold on. You're calling with a positive experience. Why would I possibly care?
Just to shed a little light on the other side.
No, let's not do that.
Okay. Are you drinking right now?
No, but I'd like to be.
Why are you giggling so much?
Because you're making me laugh.
We're making you laugh. Well, that's what we're here to do, sweetie.
You feeling anything?
Doing a good job.
You feeling anything below your waist today? You got feeling back down there?
You got the tingles?
You got the vapors?
I'm doing all right.
After the eBay transaction, did the casket arrive in one piece?
The casket for her latest husband. Husband 13.
Hop right. in, Harold.
Right.
Well, listen, this is not a show that's based on good things happening to people. So, you know, call us when something awful happens to you.
Please. Okay.
Call us when you have a horror story.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
It's just not fair. You like to hear the rosier side of the equation?
Hello, Don, my show.
Hey, I was wondering if Orange County Choppers were planning on building any kind of bike for eBay.
I don't know, but I was watching them again last night. They had a good one last night.
Which one was it?
They were doing, I think it might have been a very old one. They were doing a movie premiere bike for Aragon. It was some with a shield on the bike.
With the guy that was Klaus von Bülow?
Yeah, it might have been, but I came in late to the party and they...
It was like a CGI movie about a guy and his dinosaur.
Yeah, I know it was, they had an axe head was one of the items that was on the bike.
They did it like...
Aragon or something like
the
that.
The theme of the bike was almost like that, the medieval times.
And they get all done. I came right at the end, but it was a perfect moment because Tuttle Sr. and Tuttle Jr. are sitting there and they get the call from the movie producers where they are going to relocate the premiere from New York City to London. And you look at these two guys and they are so pissed off that they changed it from London that they decide they're going to debut the bike in their own shop. And did you see where they both get up and it's like, well, that's the name of that.
Yeah.
And they're like little boys that have been disappointed because they got screwed on that. But I still love that show.
That's why they're great.
The Tuttles.
Because they're real.
Mm-hmm. Sick the Tuttles on that eBay guy.
Hello there. Dynamite.
Don, did you get your eBay question resolved? The last thing I heard before I called in was the guy talking about iPod.
Totally resolved, sir. It's totally resolved.
Yeah, he's actually, Don has received his item, and the seller has actually given him his money back at the same time.
And I'll be very honest, the item that I bid on was a human heart.
Yes, it was the...
I decided I need one.
I thought it was a gift for me. Oh, hey, I need one, too. Oh, that's the lung.
I'm buying you a liver.
Liver?
I'm buying you the liver.
It's a brand new functioning liver.
I'm buying Buzz a colon, right. You a liver, right. Myself a heart, and Rob
a duke.
He's got a perfect ass, Mike.
Oh, he does. Of course he does.
You don't need an ass.
Very good.
He's got plenty of ass.
He's got lots of it.
Thank you. How is your ass? How is your red inflamed colitic... whatever that thing is, the
ulcerative colitis.
Yeah.
It should be better.
Are you on any of those? Oh. You know, I hear on the radio they have experimental programs all the time for that.
Well, that's just the cover for Amway.
For the Amway scam.
How is your butt?
It's a pyramid scheme.
How is your butt, really?
I would say right now my ass is about 85%.
About 85%.
Wow. Is it worse today than it was yesterday?
No, but it was bad last week.
That's too bad. I'll tell you why. That's an ass that has to be working at 100%.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that ass can function.
Yeah, it's got to be industrial capacity.
I'm thinking about like the steel mills in Pittsburgh.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, or an offshore oil rig that's like one of the biggest producers in the Gulf. Shut
right.
down. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that thing that Jack Bauer's father
yes.
was on.
Mm-hmm. It can't diminish its capacity for 1 second. Otherwise, the whole works is going to screw up.
Rob's ass cannot go offline.
Yeah. No. 85% is unacceptable, Rob.
You're telling
Oh, that's even worse.
Hey, but you know what?
What?
I take it over where they've been.
Okay. Yeah.
Medium's an improvement.
So 85%, is that pretty good for you?
Yeah, I'll take it.
If they were eggs, what type of eggs would they be?
Grade A?
No, I mean, you're, you know...
Like...
You're so that's what's coming out.
But no myth.
Yeah.
The same diner has served raw eggs in the past.
Okay. I love it when you speak in metaphors.
Oh, God. I think the egg metaphor is the perfect one, too.
God. This would be a good time for a break.
Oh, man. At least it's not hollandaise sauce, right?
We'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Please listen to the world's dumbest Family Feud contestants.
Name an animal with three letters in his name.
Frog.
Something found in a refrigerator.
Milk.
A brand of gasoline.
Regular.
Something that comes with a summer storm.
Snow.
A sport with an all-star game. Turn around. Remind everyone to Bob Shane. The answers he gave us are going to be 20 seconds on the clock, please. Name an animal with three letters in its name.
Alligator.
Something found in a refrigerator.
Milk.
Try again.
Ice.
A brand of gasoline.
Ethyl.
Something that comes with a summer storm.
Rain.
A sport with an all-star game.
Football.
Football, you've got to give him that.
Any man that says alligator, you've got to get
Dawson.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Exactly.
Welcome.
Jungle, everybody.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
You're going to hear a giant sucking sound.
Right, Matt Lauer.
And this is a big butt.
Sure is. You know what comes out of a big butt?
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Right.
Stinky McStink face.
What about Regis' pants?
Regis sat there with wet pants through the whole night.
That's very sad.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Speak to us.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Oh. It's all Ladies Wednesday.
Hello, darling.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you my story about eBay. Can I do that?
No, not really. We're done talking about that now.
You weren't the lady. Hold on. You weren't the lady that was going to say the nice thing about eBay, were you?
There's another lady, I think. You're not the same lady we already talked to, are you?
No.
Another lady.
Oh, I did not talk to you yet.
Another lady. Well.
Do you have hair in your special place?
Are you ready?
Yeah, I might need a translator for you.
What do you do with an elderly woman?
I don't know. I'm having trouble hearing you.
Hello?
You are.
If it's human waste, save some for me. All right, I tell you what, Mike and I will stop goofing with you. You go ahead. What would you like to say?
I just wanted to tell you what happened to me.
What?
I wanted to tell you. Don't think you look like Lucy or sound like Lucy.
What was that?
Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. Now, I had someone that I was buying jewelry from, and I wrote a negative comment to him about this really cheap ring that I got from him.
Uh-huh.
So he blocked me for 100.
Yes?
Did you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, please.
But Mike, are you laughing?
Yeah.
Listen to me.
Go ahead. Will you finish your story, please?
Well, my story is just that. It's the first time that I got blocked for 100 years from Heisman Heights.
And?
And now he hires stuff, so now I can buy some stuff. Yes, and...
Yeah.
You want to hear any more?
I want to hear all of it.
There's more. I mean, take it to the end, please.
Well, I spent about $450, and he still
blocked me.
Right.
Right.
And?
But. Then. Then he unblocked me. And now I'm going to buy from him again. And I think that's pretty funny.
It's a happy ending.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Oh, dear.
Pretty good, Rob.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Oh, man.
Pretty good. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi there. Wow.
Hold on, don't take a seat yet, Rob.
Ladies Wednesday is
Hi there, what's too. Happening?
Well, I'm a little afraid to talk to you now after that last lady. I'm afraid that
Don't be.
But we will do nothing to you. What's up, my dear?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about the story that Don told a while ago about tampon dropping cheerleader at Starbucks. I can't stop thinking about that story.
Sorry. Neither can I. What about the lady who dropped her tampon in Starbucks?
You know, I was a cheerleader back in the day, and there's just no way that you would not wear something under a cheerleader.
Uh-huh.
So are you disputing the story? Are you, what's the reason for the thought, the call?
It's just been bothering me ever since you told the story. And I just thought it doesn't make any sense for someone to drop it.
Why have you been thinking about this for so long?
I don't know. It's just been on my mind.
Not impossible,
is it? It does make sense if she was not wearing panties.
Right. I mean, it happened.
I've been known to not wear panties, but not at the same time as the cheerleader.
Turn off the translator for a second.
Okay.
Because she's really, I think, trying to make a point.
Uh-huh. Okay.
What's the point?
Well, my point is that I don't think that someone wearing a cheerleader skirt would not be wearing something underneath that would protect her.
So are you then calling me a liar?
No. I not at all. I think that she dropped it, but I don't think she dropped it the way you think she dropped it.
Why are you so focused on a story about a tampon from a couple of weeks ago, ma'am?
I'm not sure.
By saying that, though, you have opened yourself to a little analysis here.
Right.
Perhaps some self-analysis and perhaps some analysis from us.
Are you wearing one now?
A tampon or underwear?
Yeah. Either.
Both.
I'm wearing underwear, no tampon.
Where is your tampon today?
They are in the bathroom in the house.
All right. So you're not in need, as they would say.
Correct. Yes.
I think you're a special case. You should wear one always.
No.
I would think so. And you know, with the big news yesterday that they came out with that special pill that can prevent the need for those products ever, and perhaps that's a pill you would want to look into.
You're investing in that company, aren't you, Buzz?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Frankly, they're really not that comfortable. So unless you really have to,
say? Could you repeat that, please?
Okay, let's really get a real discussion about this. What about the tampons, honey?
They're not very comfortable. Tampons. So if you don't need to use them, then why?
Right. Uh huh.
Well, that's fair enough, Ed. We thank you for the call.
Thanks for the call.
You're very welcome. I love you guys. Bye.
Love you too.
Oh, Robbie.
Are you still on the line?
I am.
Are you wearing a sanitary napkin?
Hello?
Yes, I'm still here.
You're still here?
Thank Christ.
Yes, I am.
Rob has stopped translating for you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
We never say this. Go listen to yourself on the radio.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Flo.
Flo.
Heavy.
Have a wonderful day, Red.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Thank you. Hi. Yeah, hi. I wanted to ask you, Mike, I know you use the Sharpie pens.
No, I don't. Don, hold it. Don uses the Sharpie pens.
And I'm so unique in that. I am so unique. I am the only person in the world that uses Sharpies.
I think you have a special relationship with your Sharpie pens.
I always love my Sharpie pens.
This woman, who sounds like Judy Garland.
Ma'am?
No.
If
you could tell me, I would be great, because I love them, but they bleed through to the other side of the check.
They're permanent markers.
Honey, I buy mine at Office Depot. I buy them right off the rack, the same place
you're not supposed to write checks with a Sharpie, though.
Right. Unless you're doing it for comedic effect, as I do sometimes.
Uh-huh.
If I'm
writing a check, like, to pay off a debt, I write it in a Sharpie because I know the person's going to be embarrassed.
Exactly.
Okay. Hey,
I love that intoxicating laugh.
Yeah. It was comedic effect with her.
And also, ma'am, you must know that Don is a man of means, and his checks are made of leather.
Just joking through. That's right. He writes all of his checks on skins. But feel free to jump in because you're so very eager to.
I love you guys, and I missed you, Don, when you were gone for a few days.
I tell you, I said to Mike, has my favorite cow called the show?
Mm-hmm.
Because I miss her, too.
What is m'lady's name?
Love
my
you.
My name is Kathy. I love you, too.
Love
with a
you
K
so
or a
much.
C?
With a K.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Why don't you go somewhere in the room and see if you can find something else that bleeds?
Oh, dear.
My.
Whoa, a little hostility came out.
Thank you for the call, ma'am.
Okay, bye-bye. Have a nice day.
Bye.
Bye, Kathy.
I hate it when I'm the nicest guy in the room on a phone call.
I didn't mean anything by that.
What?
I hope she doesn't fall.
Rob, where does that hostility come from? I'm just curious.
Carrie, my wife.
How's she feeling?
Not well. She's on steroids to get her voice back.
Did you know that when you were away, she had another... fall.
I got the call.
Yeah.
I got the emergency call.
Sure.
It took a while to get it through because, you know, between the laughing, I couldn't catch my breath.
Unimaginable bastard.
That he heard her fall.
Yes.
And then.
So he lies to you, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, to himself. He's in
denial.
He's in total denial.
How long before a lie becomes the truth?
I know exactly. He pushed her. We all know he pushed her. But he calls me and he says that she fell, and he could hear her falling.
Right.
And that because she's lost her voice, all he could hear was... I heard. And then he went the other room, and he said that she said that her ass was...
the ass took the... the bad part.
So a serious fall with no ability to cry out for help. Or in Rob's situation, the perfect world.
Well, they say the steroids will help her get her voice back. I've got to go home and hide them.
In Speewax, no one can hear you scream. The dungeon.
She fell again in the soundproof room.
Yeah, I get all the calls. Anytime I hey, Jerry's got a hangnail.
I think it's really embarrassing that he lies to you as well.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Jerry's got a hangnail. Think I can divorce him?
Of course, he lies to you for plausible deniability, right?
Absolutely. Mike.
In case you're ever subpoenaed with that.
Know what I am? The alibi.
The beard.
The alibi.
Mm-hmm. Rob was with me. Yeah, that was it.
That's right.
We were playing ping pong. Yeah, that's the ticket. Hello, Dynamite.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, what's happening?
Always picking on women. You should be shaming yourself, Mike and Don and Rob.
We love women on this show.
Women are good.
Always picking on women.
Come on, women are good for two things.
What are those two things?
I mean, if you want to be...
It's kind of a personal question.
If you want to really know the answer, it would be, I believe, a couple of days ago. It was great. And I was caught. There I was with the big, gigantic...
Oh,
they deleted that out.
Oh, dear.
Women do two things. They're good for two things, cooking and doing something else.
Uh-huh. Right.
Some nervous Ellie had his finger on the button back at the station.
I've got the answer.
Yes.
Cooking and vacuuming. See, it all comes together in a nice bow.
Only the vacuum has a lot of suction. Yeah.
See, now I think you've invented a brand new one. A new wonderful vacuum.
Don and Mike show.
Well, hi, Don and Mike. I've caught that one on hold.
Okay. That's great.
Our lucky day, nice. Another lady. Hi, yeah. What's up? What's up, honey?
Hey, lady.
Well, I know you guys probably, worn this one out, but it's just a suggestion for Don about eBay.
Hey, it's a lady.
Yes. I just wanted to tell you, if you had filed a grievance with PayPal, you're only going to get 60%.
Oh, look at that. My finger slipped.
Oops.
I'm sorry.
I thought she had something very important to say.
I have big, greasy hands. Let's send a moment of Don and Mike forgiveness out to radio station WHOF FM in Canton, Ohio.
Hmm.
We've got to get a tape of this. Morning co-host Jesse Johnson got fired today.
JJ?
During the show. Now here's, let me explain to you what happened.
Okay.
This guy or girl, Jesse Johnson could be a man or a woman.
Yeah, right.
Was taking phone calls. And a lot of times when you take phone calls and you play records, you record the phone calls during the records.
Right.
So if you're just answering the phone and going, hello, KFRC. And you got people who will go like, hey, can I hear this record? And you go, yeah, sure. Well, apparently what happened was there were a bunch of phone calls on a tape. Mm-hmm. And during one of the calls, after the person had hung up, this disc jockey said, God, I can't believe I effed that up. I effed that break up so bad. I effed up that call. Then took another phone call.
Uh-huh.
The record's about to run out. Fought. The tape was queued up
to the actual real phone call, and instead he played his rave out.
Yes, he or she played a string of profanities.
Oh, dear.
And it's a she.
Oh, really? It's a lady.
Ah.
It's a lady.
Hey, it's a lady. She thought she had recorded over it, but it made it onto the air.
Oh, dear.
There you go.
It can happen to anybody.
You know, you got to cut our slack.
Yeah.
You slack do. Burger. I mean, it's a mistake. It's an error. It wasn't intended.
That. Yeah. But now that doesn't matter now in this climate, right? I mean, you're done.
I think
right.
We all
you're
know.
Toast.
Girls on the radio are only good for one thing.
Mm-hmm. Vacuuming.
And reading the traffic.
Right.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, who needs girls? No girls allowed.
And answering Mr. Carlson's telephones.
Let's keep it a sausage club. But so let's just see if we can get Jesse Johnson a job.
Yeah.
It would be nice to see if we could help her out.
Yeah, I mean, this is really getting kind of insane honestly, right now. I mean, there was a day where, you know, you would get a you know, cut a little slack burger once in a while.
And it said her co-host just got suspended.
Really?
But she got canned. Well, I mean, come on.
That sucks.
For goodness sake. Everybody does something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was going to mention, nothing has happened yet in the world of radio with Rush Limbaugh
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
the Barack the Magic Negro song.
Talk about offensive. I mean, that does fall into the same category.
I thought it was going to get some traction, I guess, on Monday morning on the Today Show. Mm-hmm. They teased it. And here's what they did. I love it when they come on the news and they want to say something, but they don't have the balls to say it.
Right.
So they say, is Rush Limbaugh's song, the Magic Negro, is it offensive? Has he gone too far?
Mm-hmm.
Here's Joe Blow with the story. Then, of course, you get a million times where you hear, Barack the Magic Negro.
Right.
And then they have Rush Limbaugh saying, I'm not doing anything that I haven't done for a long time. And they come back. And the anchor people just shake their heads and go, let's get a check on the weather from Al Roker.
Yeah, why go into any depth at all?
I mean,
because it's almost like it's preordained that they're all going to be, it's the feeding frenzy. Mm-hmm. If some unknown power determines it to be the feeding frenzy, and who knows where, well, I think a lot of it comes from advertisers.
And it's gone. I mean, that story had its chance. Right. To run up the IMIS, Opie and Anthony flagpole.
Not going to happen.
And for whatever reason.
He gets away with it.
Everybody's cool with it.
He gets away with it because I think there's no secret that his audience is so completely diverse. That's why he gets the free pass. It's not like the white males that are, making up the majority of his listening audience.
Amen.
Give me a break.
All right, well, let's take one call and then come back and talk about something else. Hello, Don and Mike's show.
This is KFRC with Dr. John Rose. How are you, pal? Here, would you like to hear a song?
I love the great late Dr. Don Rose, one of my favorite DJs of all time on the Big 610 KFRC San Francisco. That better be a tribute, my friend.
It is. I taught you everything you know. I was going to play the Magic Negro song for you. It goes like this.
Is that the way he did? Did he laugh like that?
Yeah, there was a lot of that on Dr. Don Rose. Dr. Don! Dr. Don Rose. Are you looking, we got to save him
we
somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
You got something in the machine there?
Yep.
You know the problem is we have too many Dr. Phil tapes.
You're right.
Rob is scrolling through all of the doctor tapes that are coming up on.
And we don't use the Dr. Phil tapes nearly as much as we used to.
Doctor.
Not because he burned out, just like the guy on Dateline NBC.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely.
There are a couple of Dr. Phils that are evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
That's a broadcaster that means we'll live forever.
That's right.
And there's a couple of Chris Hansons that are evergreen. But here's an evergreen.
It's also a pretty fabulous Barbra Streisand song.
Here's an evergreen Chris Hansen. I like rape. I mean, that one, why get rid of that?
A timeless classic.
Right?
Better yet, let's just call it evergreen.
Well, I mean, it'll never go away. And give me a Dr. Phil. Pull a Dr. Phil up from there.
I do think I'm better than other people, but I'm not a jerk.
Evergreen.
Evergreen.
Uh-huh. Can't get rid of it.
Sure.
It's got to be there.
AM in Atlanta, Georgia, a town so healthy they had to shoot a man to start a cemetery. I mean, where else in the whole world could you
you drive on I-75 for 10 miles and never leave the scene of an accident. John, Fred, and the Playboys, because it's Monday morning, or as we call it around here, Tuesday 8, and when she took off her glasses, I made a spectacle of myself.
What was the one? What was the last joke? I forgot what the last Monday after Monday morning, or as we call it around here, Tuesday.
Tuesday B.
Tuesday B.
Or was it
Tuesday, Tuesday Eve? I thought he said
no, Tuesday
no.
Eve.
No. It's like.
I'm sorry that I. I'm sorry I stopped the show to ask that question.
I think he said Tuesday A.
Tuesday A.
Tuesday A, Ma.
Very good. All right.
79 WQXI.
Georgia, most beautiful part of America this time of year. And as a matter of fact, the Rose family took a nice drive over the weekend down to Callaway Gardens. Saw this guy beside the road, and I said, "Where do you do your cotton picking?" The guy says, "Cotton picking what?" Quixie and Dixie with Dr. Donald D. Rose. I'm just about normal this time of year. What's normal? Old 98.6. That, according to
there it is.
That guy.
You haven't played a lot of him over the years.
He's great.
They've gone by.
Great.
He's no longer with us.
Dr. Don Rose.
Like
no.
2 years ago, he passed away.
Yeah, and actually, he pulled a Buzz late in his career.
Really?
When he was ill, desperately ill,
right.
He was so freaking popular in San Francisco. Seriously,
right.
He did his show from a hospital bed that they had in his room, and towards the very end, he didn't have very much voice left, and it was you know. Yeah. 6KFRC is Dr. Don, and goddamn people listen to him right up till the very end.
That's pretty cool. Very, very cool.
Good guy.
Yeah. Good. Dr. Don Rose.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Not my favorite Rose, not Charlie.
Or the movie with Bette Midler.
Oh, the Rose.
Hello.
And, of course, my favorite ball player of all time.
Pete, right.
Signing pictures at Caesars.
Dr. Pete Rose.
Hey, what's up? Oh, we got to hit a break. Can you speak in 5 seconds or less?
Well, I was going to tell you about Dr. Don Rose I used to listen to in San Francisco.
Great story.
You did it. You accomplished what you set out to do.
Sorry, we're up on a break. I'm glad you liked him. Thank you for the call.
All right.
Oh, what asses they are.
Bye-bye. Yeah, we just passed, Mike, on the call of the century.
It would have been a great yarn.
Yeah. Hope you know that.
What a fable we would have heard.
Goodbye. Ticket to the big time. That's what I like about DJs like Dr. Don Rose really back in the day. Uh-huh. Just out of context.
Right.
I mean, I know he was doing something about a cow.
Off the wall.
But he would just throw it and be like, "Hey, it's a good looking Monday."
Yeah, that's right.
Quick Sam
Dixie. Dr. Don Rose sending this one out to his daughter who just got done with that pesky exorcism. Have a great day, Emily.
Jalen Rose. NBA player. NBA.
Gypsy.
Isn't it Gypsy Rose Lee?
Yes, you caught me.
War of the Roses.
They're both roses.
That'd be two roses.
But their name would be Rose, so that would count. Mm-hmm. Don?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mike.
Welcome back, you're King of the Roses.
My God. I only hope they're red.
I have a rose garden.
I hope they're tampon red.
You know, I have actual real roses in my backyard that I could bring in and give everyone.
Love it.
It's the truth. I really have a rose bush that's blooming right now.
I've got a great idea for continuity.
What?
When we come back for our rejoin song, let's play "Never Promised You a Rose Garden" by Lynn Anderson.
What a spectacular song that is.
That will only drive away listeners by the hundreds.
I know. I think it's fantastic. Well, it makes my cheeks rosy.
I'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I webbed you. That means you got the apartment.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show. It's the BME Award winning Don and Mike Show.
I beg your pardon.
The Rose Day. All right, goodbye, listeners.
Oh, there are a couple that are hanging in there.
Oh, right, sure. On the Eastern Shore right now.
They both have really long hair. Like, it'll be about a 60-year-old lady with hair down to her butt.
She's getting in the car, she goes,
"They finally changed the format! They're playing Lynn Anderson!" Why?
there playing Len Anderson, come out the car.
Duh.
That's a good duh. Oh, that's George Foreman's duh.
Duh.
Here is the latest on Paula Abdul's nose.
Oh, good.
I only got a brief look at it last night when I just looked in on Idol.
She did not break her nose.
Whew.
She chipped it.
She chipped her nose?
She chipped it.
She like a piece off the end or the bone?
She tore cartilage in her nose.
Oh, that's nothing. You know, we call that back in my day, Don, hockey practice.
She also claims to have fractured a toe when she fell over her dog.
Well, seems to me like she was slipping over the vodka bottle.
Also tonight, I think I mentioned to you, it was in the newspaper, I'm not being a sayer,
a soothsayer. Right.
It was rumored that Britney Spears, yeah, baby, was going to be on that show tonight on Idol. It'll be Green Day.
Yes.
Green Day. What, Buzz?
I just read today also that Green Day would be on tonight. So
it's going to be, well, it would have been exciting because I think Britney Spears has gotten herself back into that playing shape that we all know and love.
And barring any more flu, they're also expecting Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett!
That'll be sweet.
Also tonight, Smokey Robinson. Hey, he's looking great.
You want to see the face of... Have you been to the frozen food section of your local grocer and seen, like, the Smokey Robinson frozen dinners?
Oh, yeah, they're like Zydeco-type foods, aren't they?
I think they must be delicious.
You mean Cajun cooking?
Yeah, and soul food.
Yum, yum.
Sure. Yeah. Anyway, Smokey Robinson tonight, Tony Bennett. Also from Aerosmith, Joe Perry.
Joe Perry. Will he be doing a lot of talking?
I hope not.
And Gladys Knight. Now, that is really, for the hottest show in the world, that is not an all-star lineup for their finale.
Would have been a totally different lineup if they had, you know, Melinda still in the competition.
Now, as far as your alumni performing tonight, it'll be Taylor Hicks, Carrie Underwood, and Kelly Clarkson.
They've really mined Carrie Underwood this year, haven't they?
And Kelly Clarkson.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
I mean, really, how big can one girl get in between hit records?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know it's more cushion for the pushing.
That's right.
Right. She still is just cute as all outdoors.
Oh, she's cute as a peyote button.
Jesus Christ. That's a big peyote button,
it
Mike.
It sure as hell is.
It's a peyote button of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
On dialidol.com, this is a site that uses modems to figure out who's voting for who.
Do they have the overnights from last night, incidentally, as far as, are there any instant results?
Are you ready for this?
Yeah?
Dancing with the Stars.
Self-loathing no longer for me.
All right, so the website dialidol.com uses modems to find busy signals. What they do is they go through and they say, is Jordan's line busy? Is Blake's line busy? Based on that, they calculate the Jordan Sparks is going to be Blake Lewis by 4-1 tonight.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a walk away.
Okay, so that's it. And that's a pretty lame lineup, methinks, tonight, with all the people that are going to be performing.
Yeah, no good.
As I mentioned,
no good.
The only good thing I actually have, I am looking forward to Sangina.
Yes.
For whatever reason.
Well, you missed because you have a special connection with him, don't you? I don't know what that meant. I just threw that out there. You know.
We do have, the retarded video, the retarded internet video of Sanjaya. He claims that 17-year-old Sanjaya is a fake.
Mm-hmm.
This is Sanjaya. I want to call him by his real name. Sanjaya. He's in a video where he claims he's not Sanjaya.
Like, he uses another name. Is this the guy himself? Is this Sanjaya saying this, though?
Yes, hold on. Let me cue the cut up. Cut number two, Sangina's video. Here we go.
Okay.
So he is pretending that he's not Sangina.
I'm in heaven, and my heart is
so good afternoon. I'm Bill Vindahl, a 25-year-old graduate student in the Industrial Design Program at RISD.
Now, this is up on YouTube. Yeah. It's Sangina.
It still certainly sounds like him.
There's no doubt that it's him. He's looking at the camera and he says his name is like Bill Vendel.
Right.
For the past 5 months, I've assumed the role of a character I created named Sanjaya Malakar. The character was part of a larger art installation from my thesis program. To the fans of Sujaya, maybe you're actually fans of Bill Brunel.
I am art.
Hold on, we're getting some interference. Okay.
I'm sure many of you subconsciously knew what I was doing. How could you look at this, and not see it as a symbol for the self-referencing nature of progressive evolution? This won't be the last you see of me. I might show up in other places. I might pop up on your favorite situation comedy. I might run for president.
You know, I have to say his talent for satire is just as good as his talent for singing.
Isn't this like he's reading a Craig Wilson column?
He's being Sangina.
I might show up as you.
I'm actually Bill Vendel. I'm a 25-year-old college student, and I created the character of Sangina.
Sangina is really not me.
Sangina. Okay.
Although they made the big deal about him and his sister, and they had the whole family on, and
right.
now he's going to come out and say this.
So we will have a link to that on our website today. And one more picture we should put up on our website today is a handsome picture of Kelly Pickler's dad.
Mm-hmm.
He just got arrested again.
Oh, no, he's back in jail?
Yeah, he was stealing old cars and taking them to salvage yards.
He was in the joint when she was on the show last year, and then he got out in the off season, and now he's back in again.
Mike, he's not as handsome as Dallas Lewis.
That's a shame.
Here, we'll put this up on our website. Here's the mugshot of Kelly Pickler's dad.
Oh, look at him. He looks like a Dilfer. What's the Dilfer in
Trent
the
NFL? Dilfer.
Trent Dilfer, doesn't he? Just has a little resemblance to Trent Dilfer.
Hold it up for a second. Can
yeah.
you hold it up so I can see it?
There you go.
You know what he's saying? My daughter got some rocket implants.
She's something, ain't she?
She got a rocket body.
Damn, it's a shame I got to go back to the joint. I just couldn't stay out. Bo Pickler. My name is, Dallas? Dallas Lewis, this is Bo Pickler. I just wanted to say I'm pulling for your son, Blake, and I know you pulled for my daughter, Kelly Pickler.
You bet I pulled.
I really do. I tell you right now, I do love those big baggy dog eyes of yours. Yeah, you're a wonderful guy. Listen, Bo Pickler, I got to get off. The warden's telling me I can't talk to you anymore.
This is Dallas Lewis.
Hi, Dallas.
Hi there. What's your name again?
Oh, this is Bo Pickler. How are ye? How is it going? Excuse me, you might want to address me since we're on the formal prison line by my full name, Clyde Bo Pickler Jr.
Clyde Bo?
Yeah, yes, Dallas. Yes, Dallas Lewis.
Dallas Lewis. Can you tell me what I can do to stop my life from going down the disturbing road your life has gone down since your daughter had success on American Idol?
Well, what I would recommend highly, and I'm not sure she really is because I haven't asked her, but I believe she's an Eskimo woman. I would recommend that you get yourself a good Eskimo woman. I'm sorry, I'm Dallas Lewis now. That's who I'm married to.
And I'm Clyde Bo Pickler.
They are interchangeable characters, don't you know?
My daughter's breasts feel like brand new bricks.
Dallas, can I tell you one thing?
Is that why they call it Brick House? Yes, yes. Clyde Bo.
Clyde Bo Pickler Jr.
CB.
CB. CBPJ.
CB Pickler.
Clyde Bo Pickler Jr. This is CBPJ right here.
You know what he said? Hello, son. My name is Clyde Bo Pickler Jr.
Clyde Bo. You can call me Clyde Bo Pickler Jr. I would recommend to keep out of the finer places of incarceration places, you know, that I hang out in. You would not want to use that word that Don and Mike are protesting against.
Hey, Clyde Bo?
Yes, Dallas?
May I ask you a question about my son, Blake Lewis?
You fire away. I'm here to answer it for ye.
Now, you be straight with me because we're talking on this prison phone. Cause
Dallas, haven't... I would have no other desire to be nothing but straight with you.
Do you think my son's half a fag?
I don't know. Now, Dallas, you're asking me a personal question here, and I don't want to...
You can be honest. He calls me Daddy.
You know, I don't want to offend ye, but...
How would I be offended? Look at me on TV.
I won't say...
God offended me. Look at how he made me look, for God's sake.
Dallas Lewis.
I'm Dallas Lewis.
You know, I'm on... Listen, I'll tell you one thing. I ain't going to say half a fag, but maybe one quarter, like, you know... just a wee bit. You know, you tell them.
Maybe you can help me out with something about your daughter.
Yes, Dallas.
I heard she bent over for them judges like a lazy boy recliner.
Well, she did. And I told her to do that. You know, we do that to survive in the joint. And I said, you do whatever it takes, honey. And, you know, listen, as a matter of fact, I know I'm your daddy and all, but what I'd recommend is, you know, you want to further that career, you go ahead and kind of improve them assets. You know what I'm talking about? Because really, you know, they're going to get you out there with your talent, but your talent and whatnot ain't going to go that fur if you don't have a couple of pretty buds for people to look at.
Hey, Billy Clyde?
Yeah, Bo Clyde Bo.
Clyde Bo?
Yeah, DL.
I'll tell you something bothers me. As long as we're speaking as redneck men, fathers who have children on American Idol.
That's right, Dallas Lewis. You tell me.
Dallas Lewis. I don't know what the competition was like when your daughter
was stiff.
On.
It was stiff. We had that Bo Bice and Kelly, I had to knock her down a peg right away. She said, Daddy's got a name Bo just like you. I said, darling, he's a competition. You got to take him out. You got to take him right out. Jiffy quick.
I know you probably think right like me.
Yeah.
You know what bothers me the most?
Mm.
I don't care if my boy wins or loses tonight.
Right.
But the problem is, have you seen the parents of that other girl that's singing against him? Why, one of them is black. And one of them is white.
I have seen that, Dallas. And
how come she is not immediately disqualified?
It's just a different world. I don't know what people's thinking. You know, people's thinking, yeah, the problem is, Dallas, folks like you and me's don't got, enough people thinking like you and me's. And the thing is that they're not paying attention to stuff like that. And, you know what's going to happen? We're going to wake up one day. And everybody's going to look the same, and there ain't going to be no different people. What the hell are we going to do when that happens?
I got a hell of a time wiping.
Oh, yeah, you look like you got that. I'm in much better shape than you.
I wish I said to my son, Blake Beatbox Boy, I wish you had our longer arms.
Oh, Dallas.
My arms don't reach where they need to go.
Yeah, I tell you something, Dallas Lewis, you got to come up to the local correctional facility with me. You know, you get enough packs of Marlboro Reds, you get somebody to do that for you each and every time. And I mean that.
Clean you?
Clean you good.
Clean you?
Yep, absolutely. They clean you completely. Stem to stern, if you know what I mean.
As one American Idol father to another.
Yes, Dallas?
Clyde Bow?
Yes, Dallas?
Did you get to use Paula Abdul like a toilet like I did?
Well, unfortunately, when my daughter, Kelly Pickler, was on the show, I was unable to attend due to the fact that I was incarcerated at the time.
When I got to have my fun with her, she was passed out.
Oh, did you, Dallas?
My son took pictures.
Oh, hallelujah.
With his camera phone. Same camera phone that I vote for him on.
You know something? You can make a fortune with them pictures. If he doesn't have that music career, you can make a fortune with him.
Can I tell you something down there I seen down there on her?
What's that, Dallas?
Like a bad bird nest.
Oh, really?
I tell you,
that's a surprise to me.
I have expected like an Oriole or a Cardinal to come flying out of there.
Man, I'm surprised it looks like that down there, but you go to it. Get her done there, Dallas Lewis.
Oh, I did. All the fathers on American Idol get to have sex with Paula Abdul.
I had no idea. Damn, I wish I wasn't locked up, but I tell you, that feller, he looked at me and I looked at him and I knew I just had to give him what fur he gave me what fur.
And did you have the same deal in your season as we do with the mamos?
What's that?
You know that my wife, Mrs. Lewis.
Yes.
She got to have her way with that chirpy lad.
Well, which one's that one?
The skinny one.
You mean Sangina?
No, the one. The boy that's the star of the show.
You mean that Seacrest guy?
Yes.
Oh, that guy.
Yes, Ryan Saltcracker.
Well, I thought he liked boys.
He does.
I thought he was, I thought he didn't care for girl folk.
He liked everybody.
Oh, man, I tell you something like that. Somebody said to me in the joint the other day, I was down there, I was eating my vittles, and someone walked up to me and they said, you know, I know why your daughter did well on that American Idol, because it looks like you and Seacrest is kin. Huh. And, I manufactured a way of producing a sharp instrument, if you know what I mean. And I reached down around behind where I was eating, and I pulled it out, and I stuck him right in the shoulder. He didn't say that much more to me.
You know, I don't feel comfortable talking with you, sir. I just realized And even though we're both in the position to be big redneck fathers on American Idol,
yeah,
you're incarcerated.
Yeah. I am in the Stanley County Jail, sir. That is correct.
Well, I must go. I'm going to be on national television tonight, and I hear Gladys Knight's performing.
All I was doing was selling old beater cars, and I was taking them to salvage yards to sell them, and that's all I was doing. You know, my feeling is this. You got an old beater car just sitting there in your yard. No one's going to be touching it. You got every right in the world to go down and grab that car and take it down to a salvage yard. I think it's like a beautification process. And they're sitting here telling me that I can't take them beaters and take them over to the salvage yard and sell them for scrap. I said, hell, I can't.
I tell you what, I thought my boy was going to be the oldest attendee at Applebee's in the entire world until he locked into that whole thing where he spits and pretends that he's like a car backfiring.
I tell you, my daughter Kelly, you know, she comes visit me occasionally like in prison. She's dumber than a stone.
Oh.
But she found her calling when she got on and sang like that. She sang like a little birdie, and I want to thank my daddy and for taking care of her and all that. You know, she's raised pretty much exclusively by her granddaddy. And that's an awful nice thing he done. You know, I know most granddaddies, you only get to see the kids once in a while. They're not so responsible for taking care of the kid like that. But,
how you doing, friend? This is Dallas Lewis.
And this is Clyde Bo Pickler Juicer. We're sure excited about American Idol and what it's done for some of our kinfolk.
Took my son right out of the gay life.
Yep.
I'm telling you.
And it got my little Kelly a career, which I'm surely grateful for.
And for keeping my mouth quiet, they gave me $1,000 in cash.
Only $1,000?
Well, Clyde Bo Pickler, are you telling me, Dallas Lewis, you got more?
No, I'm telling you, Dallas, I could use me a $26,000 loan. That's my bond that I have to come up with for Stanley County Jail.
They paid me $1,000. They say, if you promise you will not drink before the live show, we will pay you, Dallas Lewis, $1,000. I called Blake and I said, do you believe this?
I wish I could get out of here so I could go see that show, but unfortunately, they make me watch whatever I have to watch, you know, with the other prisoners. That's what causes the fights and such and whatnot. You know, the TV, you know, one guy want to watch some game or something like that. And I'll say, I watch the Idol, and then they'll all start making fun of me and whatnot. And I'll get real upset, and I'll say, don't you know who I is? I'm Clyde Bo Pickler Jr. Don't you understand? I want to watch that show there.
And I'm Dallas Lewis.
Yeah, I
sure. My mustache smells like cornbread all the time.
Huh.
That's my boy. That's my boy out there, the beatbox boy.
And I'm Clyde Bo Pickler Jr., and I just can't see my way around stealing stuff.
He was out there with the critters, singing, playing. I always thought he was half a queer. Look at him. He's almost the American Idol.
Well, Dallas, you do me a favor, and you pass that youngster.
Yes, sir.
You pass him my best wishes for a successful time on the show. Hope he wins, and I hope he beats that girl. And
how long till your daughter's in one of them magazines where I can see those boobies?
Well, I tell her, man, you got to trade in on it while you're out it hot, you know, and whatnot. You got to go out and do and grab that thing and grab that beast by the private parts, as they say, and do that type of thing.
I just built me a new outhouse.
Oh, did you really?
Oh, it's a beauty.
Huh. Oh, I can't wait to get back to mine. I got a great one, too.
I dug me a hole. I built a beautiful one. To Home Depot, took some of my Blake Lewis beatbox boy money, said, I am Dallas Lewis. I would like an outhouse.
Is yours made of cedar?
Is there anything finer?
That's right. I can't wait. Well, if I get sprung, I don't think this thing's
going to hold. I called my boy.
Out.
I said, hey, Blake. I got a drop of Simon Cowell.
Ooh,
he liked it.
Yeah, you give me 2 seconds of that Simon Cowell, I'll show him what for. He ain't even from this country. He's making all them judgments and stuff.
It's a nice cedar four-holer.
Ooh, I don't. I just got one just for me and my dog.
That's because my son's in the finals. My son's a beatbox boy.
Yeah, well, you're not in prison, isn't that right, Dallas Lewis?
I will be on TV tonight, Clyde Bo Pickler.
I will be looking for you, Dallas Lewis, and I will hopefully be watching you from my prison television set.
I'll give you a special sign, much like Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
When you see me, pick a booger and eat it.
That means I'm thinking about you, Clyde Bowpickler.
God bless you, Dallas Lewis. I say good luck to ye and your kin. And many, many lucky things happening to you down the road and whatnot. I really do hope it goes your way.
I have to go soon. My ox is ready to take me to the Kodak Theater.
Well, unfortunately, I got an early day tomorrow.
My livestock is here.
We's up at 4 a.m., and it's chain gang work for the bulk of the day. And then I got me another one of those, what you call them, those things? An arrangement. I got to go to my arrangement. So good luck to you. And, they're telling me now that I got to get off the line.
I may be on the Today Show tomorrow.
I may be on top tonight.
Unless my son loses.
Tell you what, if he loses, I'll beat the hell out of him. We get back to Seattle. We get on that seaplane. We get back to our place. I'll give him a little what for. I'll say, you beatbox boy, I'll beat the box out of you. Well, you know what, Dallas Lewis?
What?
What?
I got me a... God, Rob, thank you. I got me a solid big pair of overalls.
Wow.
He's really giving you what for, isn't he?
God,
solid mink pair overalls.
I got me a solid mink pair overalls. Because I'm Dallas Lewis. I'm Wayne Lewis's father.
That's pretty gay there. I'm just doing my time in Stanley County Jail for stealing cars to sell them to salvage yards. But if I get out of the joint, I'm going to take my hound dogs and move out to California, move in with my daughter, Kelly Pickler.
Who are you?
I'm Clyde Bowpickler, Jr.
Hey, I got an idea.
Yeah.
When you get out.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
You ask away. I'll answer anything you say. You ain't got nothing to lose.
You like dog fighting?
I sure do.
When you get out, you want to go Mike Vick's house?
Oh, that'd be fun. We'll go see those good old dog fights. Yeah. That'd be fun time. Something to look forward to. Now I got a dream. I can put that up on the wall.
That reminds me, I think about football. And this is Dallas Lewis.
And this is Clyde Bowpickler, Jr.
God, my son throws like a girl.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Well, that's because you know, let him do all that singing. Can you tell him one thing for me?
Yes.
All us in the joint here, we get kind of upset when we see him wearing that T-shirt with the tuxedo on it. Mm-hmm. That just ain't right. I took 12 packs of smokes and bought a solid chocolate banjo.
Solid chocolate banjo.
Okay, Rob, I think there you go. Thank you. Helped us enough. Thank you, Rob, for the mink overalls and the
solid chocolate banjo. And only 12 bags of smokes.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Mike, what'd you think about the reaction from the fans in there tonight?
Oh, it was a good reaction. It's supposed to be positive. You know, they're supposed to be cheering for us, man.
Are you concerned at all that your image has been tarnished a little, or do you feel like that reaction shows that you still got support?
Man, I still got support everywhere I go. All around the world, people still support Mike Vick. So
third person.
What I go through, people go out there, man. You know, it's all good. I ain't worried about that. My job is to win football games.
In the end, will you be exonerated?
Man, no comment.
From Mexico.
There he is. Come and lick the dot of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
The song is Hot Dog.
Yeah.
By Led Zeppelin. Kind of ties in with Mike Vick and his whole dog fighting thing.
How's he doing with that?
The latest on that is that he's being raked over the coals. Sold the house. What did I read online? The big deal about the house is that he took an absolute bath on it. The house is worth like $1.3 or $4 million.
Right.
And he sold it for $700,000. And when the buyer's name is revealed, mm-hmm. that's when everyone's jaw will drop.
Oh, so it might be somebody well known.
That's what I heard.
JB?
That's what I heard. Yeah, JB from CBS?
Yes.
Yeah, right. James Brown.
He wanted to move Black Cherry in there.
I'll pay that. Indeed.
Right.
Yeah, so Michael Vick and the dog fighting, mm-hmm. and I saw that clip that we just played of him walking into some Falcons function. Someone should tell Mike Vick that there's a brand new hard ass in charge of the NFL. This guy, Roger, what's his name? Roger Goodall.
Oh, Roger Goodall. That's the new commissioner of the NFL.
You know, this whole new thing is that we're gonna be a good bunch of guys.
We're gonna clamp down. Well, he suspended all those guys from the Bengals and all that.
Get all the rowdy guys that like making it rain in the strip clubs, and mm-hmm. we're going to get them. So Vic knows that there's a new sheriff in town.
Yeah.
That these football players all got to clean up their act. When you're being asked about a dog fighting ring, which is illegal in all 50 states, mm-hmm. as you're walking into a function,
mm-hmm.
you should just do like the quarterback speak. You should stop for a second and say, hey, I really can't talk about that, but my job is to throw passes for the Falcons.
Right.
Instead, and you really have to see the clip on ESPN, see him walk in, he's just too cool for school,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, he's covered in bling, yeah. and he says, you know, hey, man, I can't be bothered with this. You know, the fans, they love Mike Vick. You know, it's like, and I'm a Mike Vick fan. I mean,
so
I
the
really
commissioner's not going to necessarily like that at all.
No, but see, the thing is, he kind of knows what he's doing because as long as he is not officially charged
mm-hmm.
with something, right. he can pretty much do anything he wants.
And he has sold the house now. It's the house is gone.
Yes, he has.
Okay.
And then there's Clinton. Clint Amport is.
Yes.
No, you didn't.
Oh, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't, Clinton. Here's Clinton Portis.
I don't know if he was fighting dogs or not, but it's his property. It's his dog. If that's what he want to do, do it. You know, what people do behind closed doors.
But that's a felony. I mean, it's a crime.
It can't be too bad of a crime. You want to hunt down Michael Vick over fighting some dogs, you know. I think people should mind their business, you know. You take somebody that's doing positive in the community, you take a positive role model and put them behind bars for no reason, you know, over a dog fight. I'm from Lawrence, Mississippi, so I know a lot of back roads that got a dog fight if you want to go see it.
So anyway, Clinton Portis came out and was laughing about this, and right away, the Redskins, the team he plays for,
yeah.
put out a big statement saying the Redskins don't condone dog fighting.
Right. Isn't that nice of them to say that?
Yeah, like they would put out a statement, hey, incidentally,
mm-hmm.
hi, it's the Redskins. We love dog fighting.
Right.
I mean, of course, it's so on one hand, uh-huh. I almost understand what Clinton Portis is saying,
mm-hmm.
but on the other hand, dog fighting is illegal, and if you are an animal lover, as I know that I am.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it is amazing when you see it, and I've seen videotape of it, and they've shown a lot of it recently, you know, just how incredibly horrible it is. Yeah. Not that there are degrees with this, but, I mean, you see the cockfighting, and it's a different feeling that you get when you see two dogs that are bred for this. I mean, it's really scary.
Cockfighting is cute. Cockfighting is little Jerry Seinfeld when Kramer had the cock that
right.
he named after Jerry Seinfeld.
Although that's pretty horrible, too, if you've seen any of those videotapes.
Bloody, yeah. Anyway, Mike Vick, come on, get your S together.
Mm-hmm.
Get your S together.
And they shouldn't, I don't like it when people are apologizing for him either. I don't like that.
Yeah. Could you fight other animals? Like, could you do a cat fight? Like, literally cats, like house cats, would that be allowed? Or is it pretty like...
I don't know if there are cat fighting rules on the record.
I don't think that's illegal. Cat fighting is not necessarily
that's
illegal.
That's just because you hate cats.
Uh-huh. No, not at all.
Uh-huh. Hold on, I got to give you bad news that I know you have not heard.
No.
I know you've been on your sick bed and you have not heard.
Yes.
This will rock your world, my friend.
Okay.
You know, at NBC, they have made a bunch of cuts recently.
Right.
And not only on the local scene, but on the network scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The latest casualty.
Oh, no.
Stone Phillips.
Oh, no.
Didn't I tell you you'd be upset?
Oh, my God, it's mm-hmm. not fair.
Who's the newscaster you trust the most, Mike?
Stone Phillips.
Who's the newscaster who's the most handsome?
Yale graduate Stone Phillips.
Who's the newscaster who, no matter what he says, could be reading the phone book always.
Iron-jawed Stone Phillips.
Always gives you the news of the modern Walter
Cronkite. I love
Cronkite.
My Stone.
Modern-day Walter Cronkite.
He's my touchstone.
Don't forget Jack Black wrote a song about it.
That's right.
Stone Phillips, more than meets the eye.
I forgot about
oh,
that.
Oh, man, fantastic. I'm so disappointed. I'm never watching NBC. Now I have to boycott Idol, and I have to boycott
Dateline
and all the NBC shows.
They're going down to Saks Fifth Avenue to think they got a new mannequin to co-host Dateline.
Well, he'll always have work. He'll always have some work with that. He can stand in the windows.
Stone.
Bye-bye, Stone.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I've heard with Michael Vick, he doesn't necessarily support the dog fighting, but he supports the culture of dog fighting, and I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means. Mm. What is the culture of dog fighting?
I think it means
I'm assuming it's skeezy.
I think it means you embrace the entire...
You embrace the idea of breeding dogs for that purpose.
You might not participate in it, but you might think with you.
Maybe that's the idea that, you know, they are animals, that this is kind of their natural thing that they would be doing.
Maybe Stone Phillips bought Mike Vick's house.
God. Oh, you made him cough now.
God. I didn't mean
stop
to.
It.
Bye, honey.
Go get yourself a chocolate banjo.
Bye,
right?
Honey.
I need 12 packs of smoke.
I know
and
you do.
And don't forget my mink overalls.
They're at the cleaners.
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, guys. How's it going?
Hello.
Hey, Mike, I am moving out of Sacramento tomorrow.
You know, that is so thoughtful of you to
actually
do that.
Climb the wall, Mike.
Isn't that terrific? Your life is about to improve exponentially.
I freaked so bad about 15 minutes ago.
Hold on.
I'm a man here.
What a shocker, though, that he's still in the city limits. That's why his phone's dropping out.
Good afternoon,
he's going to get over the wall.
What is that?
Joe produced that.
Okay.
Yes, just the inmates taking over the asylum. It was wonderful.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was just that a little thing we did yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that like... I'm sorry. I'm obviously out of the loop here.
Excuse me. You didn't listen to the shows when you weren't here.
No, I was somewhere else, Mike.
Jeez.
Couldn't get ready for a reception.
I'm okay. I'll be fine.
No problem.
Which is not to be confused with the other one that he did.
Right.
Which was
what, the pick a pair? Is that what?
No, pick a pair was the first one. Then there was.
Hold on.
Come on now. You can find it.
I can.
What are you looking for? Joe's other jingle
from this week.
There it is. Foe shout?
Yes. Friend or foe?
And isn't there a musical one also?
Friend or foe?
That was my all-time favorite. And, of course, the original that you were here for.
Uh-huh. Pick a pair, right.
You know, you might...
A pair!
Might want to put them all, like, on the same thing for Joe. You know, they're all so wonderful.
We play them a lot.
They're from the Joe Ardinger Studios.
The Joe Page.
The Joe Page, yeah. Rob, they're about as far away from each other as they can possibly be, aren't they?
We're sort of putting them in another studio.
Okay. Yeah.
So what was the friend or foe? That was a game?
That was a game.
What was the other one a game? The Sacramento game? What was that?
That was a tribute.
A feature, really. Yeah.
Feature tribute. Right. You know what? Not a feature tribute, a way of apologizing. It was all of those things wrapped into one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was striking, really.
What are you looking for now? Are you still...
There it is.
There it is. Okay.
Good afternoon, Sacramento.
And we like to try to pick out Joe's voice somewhere in there.
Isn't that pretty?
It's really, really pretty.
While you were out.
While you were gone.
While you were ill.
Put those on a cassette for me. I'd like to listen to those. I'm like, I'll put them on an 8-track.
They'd be particularly good on a long trip.
Just loop it, Robbie. Just loop it over and over.
I think they'd be delightful.
I know before you were talking about what's her name taking Rosie O'Donnell's spot. What's her name?
Kathy Griffin.
The D-list. Right. Rosie O'Donnell will not be taking over on The Price is Right.
Thank God for that.
I think you knew this.
Is it going to be John O'Hurley? I mean, that's what I heard a while back, and then that got poo-pooed.
That's what I believe on Rosie's blog today, which is always great to read. Mm-hmm. She writes, and no wonder. Now, first off, with no offense to her, I mean, seriously, honey, you on The Price is Right?
Yeah.
No.
Crazy. No, but, you know, Rosie was the TV kid. That a lot of us were, right? So Rosie watched everything, and you can tell by looking at Rosie, Rosie never probably, you know, wanted to participate in anything out of doors. So Rosie watches all the game shows, and Rosie knows, and that's why she wants to be on The Price is Right.
On her blog today, it says that she was negotiating with CBS, that negotiations broke off because they didn't want to make changes that she wanted to make to update the show.
Oh, yeah.
For instance,
so before even coming in and endearing herself to the audience that she's going to be left with.
One of the changes she wanted was to add hot guys as well as hot girls to stand by the refrigerators and the cars and the trash compactors.
Yeah, well, that's the whole Rosie being a strong
one. He's a fag.
Right.
She's a fag. Mm-hmm. It's the whole Rosie thing.
Right.
So, anyway, that's a shock they would turn her down.
Yeah, surprise.
That Leslie Moonves would turn her down.
What were they thinking?
I want to thank you, Bob. You've done a very nice job. We appreciate you being there for the... I liked having lunch with you once a year, and I would ask you for another year, and you would say yes. And then, of course, this year you said no.
From the Bob Barker Studio, come on down. Let's party.
Nice party.
Nice party.
Nice party. My upper plate slipped a little bit there.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, that's not very nice.
I thought it was lovely. I thought it was wonderful.
Try it.
There we go with Plinko.
Hey, by the way, your phone screening's not working again.
Why is our phone screening not working?
Because it's Bros of the Clown, the Mexican clown who made a fool of you guys a couple years ago. Don't you remember?
No.
What, are you some caller who we should be avoiding? Because if you
no,
are...
you said I've been in the book and all this stuff.
All right, well, then,
I can't call.
I'll tell you what. This
but I got through, like...
Hey, this number that you're calling... Hey, this number you're calling from right now, I won't give it out on the air, but the first three digits are 704. Try to call... Try to.
No, actually, it's not.
Yeah, yes, it is. Area code 301-704.
Yeah, you know,
yeah, you see, we've got better technology this year. We got it. We've
so
got better
what,
technology.
Here's the deal.
301, Don.
We are going to block out the call. See if you can get through. If you can get...
Don, the first three digits are 301, not 704.
No. Ash. Hello, Ash. You're calling from area code 301.
But you said the first digit...
The first three digits of your local phone number are 704, and there is a 4 on the last one of your phone number. Try to call back now from this number, and if you can get through on that number, I will give you $1,000.
I don't need $1,000.
Ah, because you're blocked, you douchebag.
So you know you won't be able to get through. Do you think you'll be able to get through?
It's not going to keep me up at night.
Because you know you've lost miserably.
Because now we do have software to block out callers.
I'm so worried.
So who has won the victory this time?
Who's the winner and who's the loser?
You were the one that was talking about being really excited about the fact that you beat us and did it last time. Well, this time we did it.
You got through.
Oh, how exciting, Don. Very exciting.
Yes, how exciting. Keep just referring to me by name.
Let's retrace the legitimate call.
What's that? When I talked about Storm Phillips, you know, a little play on words.
What you said was incredibly stupid, and you left me with no recourse.
I have a question.
To come up with a humorous way to tell you to put your head up your rear end.
I have a question for you, sir. What is the humorous? What is that? Wait! What is the humorous aspect of Storm Phillips?
Oh,
explain
guys,
that to me.
You guys do play on words on names.
I know we do that. We do play on words. I'm asking you, what is the play on words with Storm Phillips? Explain it to me because I don't get it.
Okay, the play on words is Mike used to say, instead of stone, a person who would make a mistake would say storm. That's the joke, Don.
Hold on, wait, I never said that, sir. You're lying.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, not oh, really. You are really lying. You're absolutely lying through your teeth. You have not explained your joke, and you're trying to cover your ass. You are trying to cover your ass with a lie, and it's not going to work. That's not fair.
Oh, okay.
Unreally.
The bottom line is you are banned, and you will not get through on the phone number that you called on. So we did win.
Oh my gosh, I can't get through.
And obviously, you know, whether you were calling to be funny, you weren't because you are an agenda caller.
And now...
No, I started out as a legit caller. You turned me into an agenda caller because I can't...
Yes.
Now
you're an agenda caller and you'll never be able to call the show again.
And you know...
it's so horrible. What will I do?
If it's so horrible, why don't you hang up?
Yeah, hang up if you hate being on the show so much because you know you want to be here. You know you want to be doing what we're doing.
I've gotten 4 minutes on. Well, I don't know. There's plenty of other people.
And the
Don, I'm the mean doctor. No stress test for stress. Remember, Don?
No, I don't remember. You're a nobody. If we banned you,
Don, look it up in the archives, man. You guys keep.
Hey,
off,
dude.
Don't you?
Hey, dude. John Hinckley's calling. It's time for lunch.
How funny.
That was good.
Oh, how funny.
And that's your comeback. Are you trying seriously? What are you trying to do here? Because you really are not doing yourself proud.
Well, then, Don, hang up, man.
No, so you're going to turn this into an endurance contest, and I got all freaking day.
Well, you know what we do, I think, when we've got endurance contests? We normally, would you mind if we put you on hold?
Yes, I do.
We're going to have to put you on hold.
No, I'm not going to wait around for that. No, thanks. You can stay on, though.
We do have to play commercials. If you want to be a man, stay on the line.
You don't have to go to break now, do you, Don?
Sure we do. And would you stop talking to me like you're some type of bully trying to goad me into a fight?
Don't project, Don. It's not becoming.
God.
Don't project what?
Don't project your own insecurity.
My insecurity about what? About this?
About someone using your name
would just actually.
I think, you know, seriously,
name.
I think your insecurity, incidentally, my insecurity is because you're not mentioning me specifically, is starting to get really, really severe right now. I'm getting an insecurity attack. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
You haven't added anything to the show that is particularly funny. No, because you're the one that wanted to, you know, pee in the big weeds here. You really didn't. I hope they don't bleep me out on that.
The big weeds of the Don and Mike show.
Hey, buddy, you're the one that called us. Why did you call us?
It's a big deal to you. As you said, you've been on national radio. Let me ask you something.
Exactly.
Did you like it?
Yes.
Good.
He seemed nice.
I contradicted himself a few times there. Oh, they're out there, aren't they? They
God
really
damn.
Are. You people.
You people!
You people. And see, we really didn't have to go to commercial break.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, hello, Dynamite.
I need to put them on a pallet, probably. It's like eight of them.
What? Hello? Are you talking to us or someone else?
I think the radio was turned
up. Come on,
there.
Hello?
And always, that is an absolute hard and fast rule. When you get an a-hole caller, it is followed up by another a-hole caller. Not that he's meaning to be a jerk.
Unaware.
It's just a guy that's clueless.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey.
What's wrong with people today?
I don't know. Do you have a mirror?
No, I just want to say let's go to break.
No, see, this is not acceptable. This is what always happens when we get a jerk caller. You get two jerk callers to follow. Why don't you contribute something?
I'm sorry.
What is that sound? What is
the sound of a guy banging his mother?
No, seriously, don't laugh your nervous laugh. That is just not right.
What would you like me to say?
What I'd like you to say is I will never, ever call the Don and Mike Show again.
I will never, ever call the Don and Mike Show again.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, you'll call again.
I don't believe you.
Oh, God.
Hello there.
I wish I could breathe through the phone and give you what I got. Seriously, give you what my antibiotics are not helping with.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
No.
Hey, Don, I got you. I got you.
He knows how to get us, too.
Yeah.
He does. In his little, tiny world, if we were sitting, if that was a bar and he was in the stool in between us, you and I would be hitting him simultaneously with beer bottles.
We'd be on Law and Order tonight.
We would, seriously.
You and I would be.
Mr. Geronimo, Mr. O'Meara, was there any particular reason why you felt the need to continue to assault the victim once he was on the floor?
Officer, listen to this tape.
Not a jury in the world.
John and Mike, not guilty. By reason of sanity.
Sanity, that's right.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, fantastic, top of the world.
Hey, do me a favor. When you're gone...
Not in the mood. Not in the mood. Not in the mood. Hang up on him.
Don't yell at me.
I'm not talking. I'm yelling at everybody. I'm yelling at everybody.
I hung up on the guy. Well, hey, you got to screw up the equipment. What are you doing?
Oh, God. I just had a meltdown. I have them every now and then. I'm not feeling well.
Yeah, right.
God, I just overloaded on that. That happens occasionally. You understand, don't you, honey?
I just screamed F you at that guy.
That was it. You know, I went out during the break and I was going to take my codeine cough syrup, but I probably should have done that.
Go have some.
I have half a bottle during the commercial break. Yes, terribly sorry for yelling F you at the caller, but no, I'm not. There's not one fiber of my being that is sorry for doing that.
The funniest part was you slamming your fist down, slamming on the console. You're really going to disengage the board.
At a certain point, I want to just get physical.
Uh-huh.
I really do.
Sure.
Let's get physical. Okay. Physical.
Well, I think we're going to cancel the guest.
Postpone.
Okay. Postpone.
Very good.
No need to cancel. Let's just postpone.
And incidentally, you know what?
We'll move on with the news.
I did. Nobody heard it on the air, but I did say F you, except the people on hold, of course. I did say F you to that caller. And really, I think it's very important for me to make this right. And I would like to say, on behalf of me and my family and everybody, to that particular caller that that I completely overreacted to, I'd really like to say, I am truly, truly not sorry one little bit for anything I said to you, sir. You're a stain. You're a human stain.
Okay.
And what you said did not get on the radio.
Right.
Hee hee ha ha ho ho.
My oh my.
Yes.
How are things over at Studio 2?
Nice and quiet.
All right, we'll go there in a moment. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crestfire?
The Don and Mike Show.
Simply cow teeth. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, let's try this out. Let's go to the cubicle with Buzz.
Hi,
there he is. Find out what's happening.
You, me, bar, beers, Buzz.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
What did we hear today? We heard the Sangina tape. We heard the Stammering tape. We heard Mac Lauer tape. Oh, oh, here's one for you, Mike.
Okay.
Ah, Krabby.
I didn't get it. What was it?
Again, that's the problem with the little rascal.
It is hard because was it Hi, Krabby?
Yeah. Yeah. We just found that based on your rainbow in the last phone call.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
But just like with the gay little rascal tapes, it's too overmodulated.
Go on. Who says I'm crabby?
Oh, and we forgot about it. We got to say from the Little Rascals for John Norman as well.
Don't call me Norman. Call me Chubsy Ubsy.
And, you know, it's the combination of the bad audio originally when it was recorded, uh-huh. and then the soundtrack that is so loud in back of all the Little Rascals.
Go on.
Beware of bed bugs.
Right.
They ran that music to hide the hiss of the bad recording.
Yeah.
Right, right.
That's why there's always music on Little Rascal.
Oh, so you say.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
How are you anyway?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for asking. And there it was on the news this morning, just as Mike mentioned earlier, scientists have found a cure for
many... It was simply a facade. It was a throwaway pleasantry.
Well, I understand that. But so often it is, and I hated to let it go like that.
But when you said thank you for asking, I just had to qualify that by saying I was just filling time.
Right.
Do you think he was being insincere when he responded to it?
He was being insincere because...
I was filling time by responding.
Yes. And you're filling time now by responding to me, responding to Buzz.
No, I'm still thinking about my crabbiness tantrum.
Right, that was one of the best ones you've ever had.
It was like really, I mean, it was the equivalent. If I had been standing up, mm-hmm. I would have stomped my feet.
Yeah,
and I was doing it with pounding my fist.
Your hands hurt now?
No. Well, come on now. Mm-hmm. Please, come on. Who are you talking to?
You're talking about the man that took out whoever the guy is that he took out. I'll leave it at that. And I wish that I remembered the name. Oh, now I do. Hold on. Give me 1 second. It was off topic, Buzz. But that made me, for whatever reason, made me think of when I was watching part of the movie Jackie Brown with my kid over the weekend. Yeah,
great movie.
He said, Dad, have you seen the extras? And some of the extras include trailers for blaxploitation films that starred Pam Grier.
Right.
Got to bring it in if you have the box set of Jackie Brown. You can get it on your own at home.
Right.
Because the audio for her movies that she made back in the day are too great. Like there was one, Bart said, Dad, you got to watch this one. I said, okay. The name of the movie is Women in Cages.
Yes.
Ooh.
I remember that.
And the entire ad goes something like that with the bad audio from the 70s. They're sex-starved women, men who want their way with them, and when they're done, they want to put them in cages. Pam Grier stars in Women in Cages.
And oh, so sexy.
And there's lots of scenes of her wearing like a Flintstone outfit. you know what I mean? Like,
yes, right.
Like a Quest for Fire type suit.
Sure.
Yeah. And she's running with her big jugs. And there's a group of like 1,000 guys in the movie Frankenstein coming after her with the big sticks on fire.
Women in Cages, 1972. Filipino movie.
They made some of the finest.
It says it's a lurid prison melodrama with the emphasis on sadism. But has the switcheroo of Pam Grier cast as a lesbian guard who tortures prisoners in her gothic chamber, also known as the playpen.
Well, I'll bring in my Jackie Brown box set tomorrow.
Good.
Because it will require some editing because because in between the spot where the guy says, they're women in cages, right, there's just a bunch of scenes that don't translate on the radio, like them being on a chain gang and a bunch of horny men just pulling these women from one spot to the next.
And she, who's the woman in Jackie Brown that Robert De Niro has enough of? Is it Bridget Fonda?
Bridget Fonda.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh at that. It just made me laugh.
Oh, what do you get? Well, Mike.
When she's talking too much.
Didn't he tell her, if you say one more thing?
One more thing.
He did warn her.
And then that's it, right in the parking lot of the mall.
And then he gets in the VW van.
Who would have thunk it?
And the song playing is by the Grassroots, Midnight Confessions.
Wow, that is a great movie.
Love Jackie Brown.
And who is the actor that plays like the...
Max Cherry, the bail bondsman?
Is that the real actor's name, Max Cherry?
No. All I know is that he is the absolute runaway star of that film.
And he is not in a lot of movies. I mean,
no.
He hasn't had regular roles. He's kind of a real tough guy in real life, but I'll never know the actor's name. He reminds me a little bit of Arlie Ermey from Full Metal Jacket. But he's not with all the Marine stuff. He's still got the kind of square head and the square jaw. He's a very interesting guy. Reminds me, actually, of some people I've actually known in real life. Some you know, kind of tough guys that are kids' parents, you know, where you have the tough father.
He reminds me, at least the way he looks, of that guy that we are talking about in The Sopranos, the guy that works for Phil.
Right.
The guy with the big teeth that was on,
yes,
on the movie Cleaver with,
right,
Christopher.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that tried to broker the thing with Tony,
right,
and Phil last week.
Yeah.
Kind of,
exactly,
looks like him, I
the,
think.
The smooth,
well,
guy. The slicky,
right,
boy guy that's,
right,
like the Mafia Don, but he's the new era Mafia Don.
And also kind of looks like the guy in Boiler Room,
yeah,
that had the yellow Lamborghini.
Yeah. I know that guy. The guy who was mentoring Ribisi.
Yes.
Yeah, and I saw another movie with, and what is Ribisi's first name?
The Giovanni.
Ribisi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
right.
He is in a very, very obscure movie where he plays, he turns into a Philadelphia mob guy, and his brother comes back, and I think this is just, it's called Tenth and Hawk, I think is the name of this movie. I never heard of it in theaters, and I just watched it last night.
Well, you just heard the recommendations. Mike says the movie...
Giovanni Ribisi in Tenth and Hawk. Is,
and I recommend Pam Grier in Women in Cages.
There they are. Try to find them.
Max Cherry was played by Robert Forster, is his name.
See, never heard of the guy. Mm,
there you go.
Don't know.
Can I recommend a movie?
Yeah.
I like the movie Olympia.
Turn on the microphones off so the crickets could be heard by themselves. What is the movie Olympia?
I believe that may be a movie that was made by Leni Riefenstahl.
By who?
It's made by
a Nazi?
She was like the official propaganda filmmaker of the Third Reich.
Right.
He's a one-note pony.
If you're going to make a joke about...
He's playing his one goddamn note again.
You're going to make your Nazi jokes, you know... Give me like a high sign, you know. Give me like the Heil Hitler or something, so I know what's going on.
Quiet one.
You know,
you know, one of his understated ones, you know.
Oh, like the around the office Heil.
Like one of his less formal ones.
Not like one like way up in a parade Heil.
Right, you know, yeah.
One of those. Yeah.
Like on Hogan's Heroes.
Okay. Well,
you know,
I'll loan you my copy of Olympia. I think you'll like it.
Well, they all get to go like, hi, okay.
Right.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
Damn you, Buzz. What's the problem? You have a whole segment for the news.
I'm just wasting time.
Talk.
A smart shirt you got
Thank
on.
Thank you. Glad you like it. Appreciate that.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's one of those golf shirts like Charlie Sheen wears on 2.5 Men.
Is that why you bought it?
If you need to fill it in at home.
Did you buy it thinking you were like Charlie Sheen?
Yes, I did.
Charlie Sheen is Buzz's role model.
He's a role model for us all.
Sure he is.
Mike mentioned this earlier. Big news on the news this morning. Scientists have found a cure for menstruation.
Mm-hmm.
The Food and Drug Administration has approved a birth control pill that also stops women from having periods. Taken daily, it's a big change from the 21 days on, 7 days off routine that's dictated the taking of birth control pills since they first hit the market in the 1960s.
That's bloody good news, Buzz.
It certainly is. And it's not for everyone, though, as the TV drug ads say. There's still the occasional unexpected spotting that with this drug can happen anytime, not just at that special time.
Maybe after the show we can talk about it going back to Buzz's pad.
my Malibu beach pad.
Mm-hmm. No, I think Mike was speaking about your maxi pad. It's all decked out.
In some cases, the spotting that comes with this drug can continue for quite a while, not just 5 days.
That's awful of that. You ever have that happen on the Acela train? Hey, train spotting?
Train spotting.
Yeah. Nasty.
Very
awful.
Inconvenient. Librel, which rhymes with libel, goes on sale this July.
Boy, that's a lot to absorb.
The summer vacation season begins in a couple of days, but not for everybody. A new survey by CareerBuilder.com says 1 out of 5 of us won't even take 1 day of vacation this year.
Hey, you know what? Hold on.
Don't you not know.
Good for you.
Hi there, mark my words.
Right. I'm right behind you on that one.
Yeah. I'll be there with you then.
How many days in a row is my streak right now? My Iron Man streak. One.
Almost one.
Very one.
Good. Almost one.
Almost one full show.
That's right.
Wonderful.
An additional 27% of us will take 5 days or less vacation this year. Yahoo Hot Jobs also did a survey.
Another problem that I just need to everyone out there.
What's wrong?
Get yourselves a better agent.
That's what you need to do.
And don't come at me with you speaking from an ivory tower crap.
Right.
Just get yourself a good agent.
It's right. Easy.
That's how you get yourself lots of vacation time, please.
Or move to Europe. A Yahoo Hot Jobs also did a survey and found that 45% of us didn't use all our vacation days last year. The number one reason? Too tired. Too tired to take a respite. Reason number two? Too busy at work to take time off. 20% of us... These are the reasons people give for not using their vacation time.
I'm still laughing at the entire thought of not using vacation
time. What is wrong with these people?
That is incredibly stupid.
20% of us continue to work while on vacation, in many cases keeping in touch with the office the whole time.
Yeah. You tool. You dumb stains.
Silly people.
No, I believe in working on vacation. I believe in working on my 9-iron.
Driving to work, maybe you noticed on the Beltway today coming in, actually these are all over the country, signs, electric road signs in our case, telling us to click it or tick it.
Were you just eavesdropping on our conversation?
No, I wasn't. Were you talking about this?
During the commercials, I was mentioning to the guys today, the incredible traffic jam, I got it on the Beltway here in D.C., and the reason the traffic literally was in a 3-mile backup was the fact that they had the big sign in the middle of the road that was flashing, click it or ticket.
Yes.
And people were stopping at a message sign.
Yes. To read it and appreciate it and soak it in.
I believe now through, really probably through the summer, but starting now, I mean, for everybody that's commuting, listening to us here in Washington, wherever you are in the country, this is when they're starting. The rules are going to change a little bit as far as, the way you drive when you're driving home, because I have seen more people out and about. I mean, people are really, they're out there gunning for you right now.
The cops?
Yeah, absolutely. And President Bush is here to set the example, and that's our story when we come back.
Oh, we click it or ticket?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, be right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Like a backwards brain fart. The Don and Mike Show.
Uh-huh. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Howdy. How are you anyway, Buzz?
Not going to fall into that trap. Click it or ticket.
Right, let me. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
Right. This week, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration kicked off its annual seatbelt awareness campaign, and it's complemented, as Mike mentioned before the break, by a crackdown by police on people who don't use seatbelts. And then, yesterday, President Bush was spotted without one as he drove a pickup truck around his ranch with the NATO Secretary General at his side.
If you don't like what we
said, he doesn't get to ride in the limo much, but he said the government does spend a lot of money on the president's safety.
Tony Snow, he's a coward.
Yellow Snow. Watch out where the Huskies go.
And don't you eat Tony Snow.
The president is busy working on an early Christmas present, and that is nearly doubling the number of American troops in Iraq by the end of the year.
And let me just say, I don't normally get really political unless everything's at a fever pitch.
Right.
But even from my dumb perspective, way to go, Democrats.
Uh-huh.
Well, you got him backed against the wall, and now you've given him like 4 more months of a blank check.
Oh, yeah.
Since you mentioned it, yeah. Congress.
I mean, really, if you're going to be accountable, nothing has happened.
Right.
Exactly. As far as Tony Snow, he worked for Fox, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
And now he's press secretary. What's going to be the next Snow job? Bada bang. Thank you. Do I almost get the... You're right. Don has a look where I almost get the cricket.
No. The crickets love Rob.
It's ye old expression.
They love Rob and his snowballs.
We have 126,000 troops there now, and that will increase to more than 200,000 by the holidays. It's being called a second surge.
Ho, ho, ho.
Combat soldiers would also nearly double from 52,000 to 98,000. We learned this not from our government, but from an analysis of Pentagon deployment orders commissioned by the Hearst newspaper group. Quoting a former U.S. NATO commander, it doesn't surprise me they're not talking about it. I think they'd be very happy not to have any attention paid.
You know, but you're absolutely right. I mean, and you, it makes you wonder, you know, it almost, and we've had arguments about this as far as, you know, what's it all about? I mean, really, why participate? Because it's really amazing that, that, you know, we have this huge election where we come in on a wave of anti-war sentiment.
Right.
And
send
now,
a message to Washington.
You know, and now the president digs his heels in and we compromise. And what's really changing? You still have guys now that are walking in the more dangerous parts of Baghdad.
Right.
People getting blown up every day. You know, fishing a guy out of the river today. I mean, it's just nonstop.
It's probably why I don't believe in politics. I mean, the whole political thing, it was like there was this whole groundswell of emotion that, you know, Pelosi's going to get this thing. I saw her on TV today going, you know, we did the very best we could.
Yeah.
You know, we did. Oh, please, honey, I thought you were going to kick his ass. Where are all these people that were standing up saying it's time to get out of Iraq?
Right. And it's very, very difficult for the people in the Democratic Party now to come and say, well, you didn't elect enough of us. You know, we don't have the majority to overrule the president.
That's
and
what they're saying.
It's still, you know, it just, God. And meanwhile, things are still status quo, and it's not working. As was predicted, it's really not working.
Right, and what you're talking about, of course, Congress backing down from the president, removing the timetables for withdrawal from a troop funding bill they have approved. A U.S. Marshal is suing the makers of the cold medicine Zicam, claiming that the medicine made him lose his sense of smell. This freaks out 42-year-old Bill Seckman of Charleston, West Virginia. He visits a lot of meth labs in his line of work, and not being able to smell that mix of ammonia and rotten eggs puts him in danger. But Marshal Bill isn't the first to sue Matrix Initiatives. There are 26 other cases like his on the docket. Matrix has been sued before over this sense of smell thing, and they will be again. Matrix says it's not the Zicam, it's the cold that makes some people lose their olfactory senses.
The Matrix.
But the Matrix has settled out of court so far to the tune of nearly $12 million.
Whoa. You know who my favorite U.S. Marshal is?
Who?
Marshall Mathers.
Marshall McLuhan.
Marshall Falk.
Marshall Crenshaw.
Ooh. First name Marshall.
Marshall Matt Dillon.
Oh, Marshall Dillon, sure.
No, that don't count.
You know. You know.
What's the name again?
Marshall.
The fabulous, the only the best store of all time ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I buy all my clothes, Marshall's.
Last name.
Marshall Fields.
Another last name, isn't it?
Marshall Fields?
You're from that there. I mean, you've worked in Chicago. Isn't that a two last name
Marshall's?
Department store? No, Marshall Fields.
Yeah, Marshall Fields would be a first name.
Mm-hmm.
Name Marshall.
I think it is.
So
Fields is the last name.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's two. It's Marshall Fields.
Two last names.
The store is named
Marshall Field.
Marshall Field. Are we playing the first name Marshall game?
We're playing the first name Marshall game, and my question is Marshall Fields a combination of two names, or is it one proper name? Is the store really Mr. Fields, whose first name happens to be Marshall?
I understand what you're saying. You know, you can get that answered. Go talk to my good friend, Mr. Sears Roebuck.
Okay.
First name Sears, last name Roebuck. No, I don't know. It might be a guy's last name Marshall. Marshall and Field.
We don't know.
Well, Marshall's is obviously a last name, too. It's not like some guy named Marshall. We're going to give you a discount department store for clothes.
All right, Marshall Dillon. I know that doesn't count. But you're king of the Marshalls.
King of the Marshalls.
Wow.
King of the Marshalls.
Let me tell you, if you want a pair of stretch pants, forget this stupid game we're playing.
Right.
Marshalls.
Run.
It beats the hell out of Morton's.
I shop there regularly.
Now at all six, Morton's.
Morton's.
This weekend, is Morton's still open in D.C.?
I go there all the time.
There used to be a store, at least back in the day, they would run commercials. Morton's is having a crazy sale. T-shirts, 18 cents. Designer jeans, 92 cents. Only at Marshall's.
All six
or
Mortons.
Mortons.
You didn't
sorry.
Mention the best thing about the commercials.
What?
It was all clothes on mannequins.
Yes.
Never a living person in a Mortons commercial.
That's right. They would show you the picture of the clothes on mannequins.
On all six
money.
Mortons, now through Sunday.
Mm-hmm. It was high pressure. It was like, socks, $28 a pair. Belts, 19 cents. And all six Mortons.
And all six Mortons.
Now through Sunday.
Advertising works.
Mm-hmm. Quite an assembly they had the other day at Boulder High School in Colorado. The esteemed guest speaker was Joel Becker, Associate Clinical Professor of Psychology at UCLA.
Oh, Boris is dead.
Quoting from his speech, I'm going to encourage you to have sex and encourage you to use drugs appropriately. Well, this didn't set well with parents, especially among the few conservatives who live in Boulder, possibly against their will. The professor went on to say that he encouraged experimentation with sex and drugs because, quote, you're going to do it anyway. As a health educator, it's more important to educate you in a direction you might actually stick to.
Reach is stuck there with wet pants through the whole night.
Conservatives are off the charts livid about this. And a new study from researchers at the University of Minnesota says premarital sex seems to have no negative psychological effect on teenagers so long as they don't start with a meaningless one-night stand at a younger age.
You don't have education and you can't hardly get a job.
Like that woman.
Good luck.
The numbers.
Boy, bud, that's a boy.
That's a young
is it?
Boy.
That's a young man.
Ah.
That's a young boy.
I didn't know.
Almost old enough for rubbers.
But not quite.
What not?
Was a boy. I'm sorry, but the guest was a girl. A boy.
The numbers show that about half of all teens are having sex. The new study shows there's no increased risk of mental health problems among most of those who do.
He's mentally retarded.
Fun facts and figures about Americans when we continue.
Gotcha, thank you, guys.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
And one, two, one, two, three, four.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
We get science.
Armed with only their wits and their guns, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm crazy for Oingo Boingo. Well, I'd like that and some Wang Chung for my drive home tonight, please.
And Spandau Ballet.
Of course, whatever the cassette is I asked for earlier today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of Joe's Shout.
Joe's Jingles.
That's right, of Joe's Jingles.
Yes, featuring Good Afternoon Sacramento.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi, Buzz Burbank.
You can buy them at Joe's Jingle Shack.
There's never a shortage of facts and figures about Americans. We have the Census Bureau and its analyzed statistics to keep the numbers coming. The latest, as it turns out, nearly 7% of us are living in a van down by the river.
Right.
A breakdown of census numbers on housing shows that most of us live in single-family homes, nearly 63% of us. Apartments come in second at 12%. Fourth place, townhouses. 6% of us live in townhomes. In between apartments and townhomes at number three, the category that includes mobile homes, RVs, and houseboats. Over half the country's mobile homes are in the South, while Washington, D.C. has virtually none. South Carolina and New Mexico have the most at 18%.
Houseboats are cool. I'd like to live on a houseboat someday.
Down by the river.
Down by the
that
river.
That is very much like Wayne Campbell when you said that.
I truly would.
Zang.
Zang.
And how about this? Jewish circumcisions have been cut by more than 3%.
Oh, my God.
In 1965, 85% of the boys born in this country had much of their foreskin surgically removed, and not always by a doctor.
Had it cut off.
Today, the rate is 57%.
Part of my tradition.
Even in Israel, just over 3% of the Jews surveyed said they would not circumcise their future sons.
Perfect.
But, quoting one rabbi, there are 613 commandments in Judaism. That single commandment to circumcise is equal to the other 612 combined.
Hey, Larry, your whole circumcision when they, you know, they did the snip-snip, what was it like?
Big.
Right.
Thank you, Larry.
Your foreskin?
Big.
Right.
Bang.
Perfect.
A Jewish couple in California
says, you know,
they think the more important commandment is the one about not hurting other people.
Beware of bedbugs.
A Jew in Texas points out that we've managed to give up other biblical traditions, including sacrifice and polygamy.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
And finally, would you really, really like to excel at something? Do you really want to get things done and
go
places in your life?
This show. I'd like to excel at this show.
Me too.
Well, here's the secret. Stop having sex twice a week. A new study from Germany says many of us can't manage both. The University of Göttingen says, and they surveyed nearly 32,000 men and women and found that the less sex they have, the more productive they are. Sounds German. A third of the folks who have sex once a week start and finish fewer projects.
If that's the case, Michael Hughes must be getting laid every day. He is so grossly incompetent.
That accounts for his lack of productivity.
He's the commandant.
About half the people having no sex were even more active and accomplished. Among people who had
sex... Did you say couples that have no sex?
Yeah. Must be
whack. Look at all I've accomplished.
And yet... And among people who had sex twice a week or more, only 5% of them took on extra projects. The survey seems to be saying that for many, sex demotivates people. Time for a nap. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Had to know that would be there, Johnny Sucks a Lot.
Suddenly McGillicuddy.
All right, that's it. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Go get a champagne flute, Mike, and take your
hydrocodone
liquid.
That's it. You got to know that the boys in the back room are going crazy.
Oh yeah.
Mike has a big atomizer jug full of some type of narcotic cough syrup.
It's my narcotic cough syrup, and you know I can't finish all of it.
No drinking and driving now.
No, well, I'll wait till I get home.
And click it.
All right.
See you tomorrow. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, Curly Joe.
Good day to you, sir.
Hey, Hazard.
This is a tasty jam. I'd like to play it on a solid chocolate banjo.
Where are my mink overalls, Robbie?
See you tomorrow.
This is the Don and Mike Show.